It's Wednesday, August 19th, 2026. And the Treasury Department has reinstated quantitative easing to stop an economic collapse. That and a lot more coming up right now.
The Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news. Today.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Share the live feeds now.
Fire! Blow it to hell!
For the last 30 years, one man has stood against the psychological operations launched by the mainstream media and the deep state. This man knew that the war would not be fought in the streets, but would be fought in the minds of freedom-loving humans everywhere. So stand with Alex Jones, this one man terminating wrecking ball of truth, as he launches his next great operation. AlexJonesLive.com has launched. Spread this message far and wide, because the tyrants want you fighting with each other instead of the true enemy of humanity. AlexJonesLive.com is the signal they can't stop.
You will never defeat humanity.
It is Wednesday, the 19th day of August, 2026. And the Treasury Department has brought back quantitative easing. And you know what that means. Incredible economic news that we're going to be going over. Then you have Iran's hardline mullahs are considering attacks on European military targets if Trump escalates the war. I was reporting this a few weeks ago, and now they've officially been saying they're getting ready to do it. That is not just propaganda out of the Western media. And we can show people an overhead shot right here of just one of the targeting attack maps that they have put out. UAE cuts ties with Iran, warns Gulf states against helping Washington. U.S. Navy gaining ground in Hormuz. We're going to be getting to that. So whenever the U.S. gains ground, the Iranians will just escalate. That's how this works. Russia is escalating as well. It all ties together, of course, with what's happening to the economy, with the inflation, and more. And then you've got all the folks that don't want to question anything Trump does. They think that helps Trump get things done. But the worst advisors, the neocons, never Trumpers run things and take his approval rating from 57 points down to 30 or lower. They think that's great. They said Trump, you know, candidates will win all of the Republican primaries and that they're basically unstoppable. And it is true they control the RNC, so that a lot of money goes into these people. But as Trump's numbers continue to slide, I've been predicting that you'll see that trend reverse, and that just happened. Trump takes double blow in Florida, third in Wyoming, and the Democrat Socialists scored more wins in their primaries and pledged on Fox News to overthrow the United States of America. Pretty shocking stuff we've got on that front as well. So, unbelievable. And we've got the psychotic lady that just won the Florida Senate primary win. Angela Nixon is a hardcore commie. We'll play some things she said and some of her barking at the moon activity. But we got serious problems here. We didn't fix things with free market and capitalism and had more crony capitalism corruption. We're going to end up with a hardcore commie takeover. So that's what we're faced with here, and that's why I've been so particularly pissed at Trump in the last year getting off track from his economic agenda that was excellent. People asked the first 6 months of the administration, why are you fawning on Trump? I mean, just in ecstasy, because everything was going our way. It was so beautiful. And then the Epstein stuff went sideways and everything else went sideways. And here we are. And you've got all these idiots following Israeli propaganda. They only care about their own operations that are scuttling everything Trump tried to do and we tried to do. It is a disaster. Is there time to right the course? I don't know. The quantitative easing has begun. We'll talk about what that means and more today. Share the live feeds at Roloff Jones on X now.
ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we're going to do the deep dive in the second hour, at least for 30 minutes, on the economy and quantitative easing that has been announced by the Treasury Secretary. And even before they announced it, I pointed out last week that Bessette doubled the amount of U.S. treasuries that the U.S. government's buying because the rest of the world is dumping them, some countries, at a 12 percentage point per month. I mean, that's pure liquidation. And if that doesn't freak you out, nothing does. A lot of people say, I'm not in the stock market, I'm not in bonds, why do I care? All we have is a big military, and then Hollywood propaganda is our export, and energy, which is pretty big still. But other than that, if we lose dollar world reserve currency status, we are going to be in a world of hurt. They will devalue the dollar down to nothing. They will devalue all of our major institutions. We're already on the way to that. And we will be like Mexico or Brazil. It is disaster level information. And it was all predicted. These are not hard predictions to make. The road we're on. And now we're getting to the end of the line here. When I said, don't strike Iran, they'll close the strait, it'll cause energy prices and inflation. People like Rabbi Shmuley on the show last year during Midnight Hammer, he goes, all you care about is your bank account. And I said, no, actually, I'm talking about society collapsing here, pal. I'm talking about we are at the end of the debt bubble. We're basically bankrupt. What was it, $33 trillion then? It was like $40 trillion. And we've got to innovate, cut taxes on the working class, increase taxes on multinational corporations, basically pay nothing. And we've got to get investment back in the United States. And we've got to have cheap energy as the number one thing. That's the foundation of all inflation. And that's just known economic facts, like 2 + 2 = 4, or gravity, or water's wet. And now here we are, and the strait's been closed for 170-something days, and Trump saying it's open doesn't make it open, though the Pentagon is making some gains on actually starting to secure it a little bit. They're on the path to that, so what did I say the Iranians will do? They'll just start attacking other targets, and they've announced they're going to start hitting European targets in the region with their ballistic missiles, so this is how the escalation works. It's insane. Here comes QE light. Yields, dollar, tumble, gold spikes up to treasury, unexpectedly double size of long-end treasury buybacks. Well, that's what Kirk Elliott predicted a few months ago on the show would happen. They can only suppress this for so long. Treasury doubles debt buybacks as Bessette moves to steady bond market. Bond market quake is bad news for governments, businesses, and consumers. Uh-huh. The risky stakes, the rising stakes of the global bond route, sea of red futures slide as market wakes up to soaring bond yields and diesel prices, agricultural shortages already beginning. I mean, this is serious business here, okay? Schmoley's like, oh, who cares? We cut off and throw the fertilizer and oil and gas. What's that going to do? I don't know. The world's already on the edge of a collapse. So it's not even like a straw that breaks the camel's back. It's like putting another 100 pounds on the camel's back. It's going to break it. And can we reverse this? We'll talk about it with experts in the second hour. I certainly hope we can, because I don't have a nickel in the stock market or in bonds, but I study it. I understand it. I'm all in. Every bit of money I ever had came in, went into the media and, you know, fighting the globalists and expanding our resistance. That's my extracurricular activity. That's my hobby, is my main job. That's my love. That's my life, is fighting tyranny. That's what I think is awesome, is breaking massive news and having reporters and crew and breaking things live time. That's, you know, they say do what you love. Well, my extracurricular activities is my main job. I can't stop. And we've nailed all of this, and I wish I was wrong. And so just get ready for that. I got a lot more breaking on that front. I mean, look at these numbers. The results of Big Beautiful Bill are in. U.S. interest expense on the national debt at record $1.4 trillion over the last 12 months. That's bigger than the GDP per year is now financing the debt. That's when you know you're cooked. Since 2020, the cost of servicing U.S. public debt has nearly tripled. And that's right where the bankers want to get you. So this is the most important chart of the day. I'm going to table all this till the next hour. Okay, now when I raise this bad news for the whole constellation of talk show hosts and influencers and national talk show hosts, that if you say anything negative about what Trump's doing, it's because you're a Democrat operative on the Qatari payroll that wants to hurt America. No, it's like if you are in a parking lot and your wife's backing the car out and she doesn't see a car and she's about to hit it, you scream, stop! It's real simple. This is not rocket science. And we said when Trump attacked Iran, the poll numbers would go down. One of the main reasons he got elected was not starting new wars. And we also said it'll cause increase in inflation. That's already a massive problem. That is the number one thing, is cost of living. What Trump, remember, said last year and this year, cost of living isn't a real issue. He goes, look at the stock market. Well, you may have doubled your wealth the last year or two, but most people didn't. So you talk about disconnected. You talk about no one knows if Marie Antoinette, before the French stormed the Bastille in the palace and then chopped her head off a few days later, nobody knows if they actually came to her. I mean, they did come to her, but nobody knows if she actually said this. They thought it was probably propaganda to piss the public off so they would storm it. We do know that the public was told this in the public square, and that's why they stormed the palace, the Bastille, and the prison. They came to her and they said, everybody's starving to death. You got to open the emergency royal granaries. And she reportedly said, let them eat cake. Now, most historians believe she didn't say that. That was done by the Jacobins, the proto-communists, to piss everybody off, to overthrow the government, overthrow the monarchy. Because who would say they're starving, they're begging for something, you know, at least give them something and claim you help them? No, let them eat cake, which is something a starving peasant probably got once a year. So let them eat cake. And they got pissed. Well, Trump has made a bunch of let them eat cake statements in the last year and a half. They make, and his surrogates make it. Oh, you're worried about $20 burritos? Hey, pull yourself up by your bootstraps there, pal. And so a lot of the people that think mindlessly worshiping every mistake Trump makes and just being jellyfish with no spines and not being constituents to put pressure on people we put in to serve our agenda, when they get off that agenda, we got to put pressure on them. That's just common sense. They said, look, Trump is winning almost every primary for the Republicans he backs. Well, that's because the RNC has all the money, and they're putting, in some cases, 20, 30, 40 million in most cases, a couple million bucks into these state races and national races. And I say national, you know, I consider congressional, national, House, Senate. Still, it's a statewide deal. And I've talked to a lot of political experts, and I'm pretty much one myself, but I always know to talk to other people and get their perspectives, because a lot of folks know a lot more than I do about different angles, and looked at the polls and numbers. They're like, absolutely, this doesn't really mean anything. Trump-backed candidates winning because the whole RNC is behind it. But if you do start seeing Trump-backed candidates lose, that is a major red flashing danger sign. Well, it just happened three times yesterday. Just happened three times yesterday. Trump takes double blow in Florida, third in Wyoming. This is what USA Today. President Trump suffered a pair of losses in Florida's primaries and another in Wyoming yesterday as three of his endorsed candidates were defeated in key primaries, showing the limits of the influence with sagging approval numbers. In battle, Representative Corey Mills, Republican Florida, lost his chance in renomination against former TV reporter Brian Elijah. And then it goes into Mills had faced calls to resign or be expelled from Congress, including from at least a couple of Republicans, two key members of Florida's Republican congressional delegation, Representatives Anna Paulina Luna, and others endorsed Elijah earlier this month. Another of the president's endorsed candidates fell short in the race to succeed Representative Byron Donalds of Florida, who chose not to seek reelection to mount a gubernatorial bid. And it goes through all of that. Trump's supported former Commerce Department advisor, how do you pronounce that? Catalina Loaf, who previously ran for the House in Illinois in a crowded field in the solidly red district. Other candidates from the seat included former reps Madelson Cawthorn and Chris Collins. But conservative talk radio station founder Jim Swartzel emerged to win the Republican nod, currently leading by more than 7 points. Yeah, their Trump candidates getting beat heavily, too, in the numbers. Trump issued a late endorsement, only throwing his support behind her last week when he knew that she was going to win. The president's choice to become the next governor of Wyoming also had a tough night, as State Senator Eric Barlow easily won the nomination in a multi-candidate field. And it just goes on from there. Now, at the end of the day, I don't think that is as important as Trump's main approval rating in dozens of scientific polls at 33, his job approval at about 27, on the economy, on the wars. These are just disastrous numbers, okay? And I sure hope I'm wrong in, let me see, we're in the middle of August. So August, September, October, November. We're like 3 months out from the midterms, and we'll see what happens. And we know there's a lot of fraud, too, with the Democrats. So Trump's got to have, Republicans have to have an edge and you know, a landslide generally to win. And then the Democrats have all their hanky-panky, and Trump has tried to mitigate the fraud, and a lot of it, but most of it didn't get done. So you add the fraud in to a lot of Republicans are disillusioned, a lot of them are demoralized, and because of Trump's behavior and other things. And I am predicting on the current trajectory, and I pray I'm wrong, I think the Republicans lose 25, 30 seats. The Democrats get a juicy, juicy majority in there, not huge, but juicy. And then, man, I just think it's up in the air on the Senate. I think it's up in the air. And I tend to think, here's what I know. If the economy publicly cracks up, because it already has, but they're still papering over it. If the economy cracks up before the midterms, the Senate's lost. And we are this close. And I'm sorry, posting memes that I see by people I like, influencers on X, I guess that's what they are, because I don't really have shows, but I know these people, I like stuff they posted over the years, and then it's like, look at Trump as a king. Wouldn't it be great if he was our king? We need him to run again. He's unstoppable. He's a genius. And I just see them not putting out even some of the accomplishments that they can talk about, but just mindless, literal worship. And I'll show you some examples of this coming up. And I'm just like, if I wanted to turn people off, that's what I'd do. I mean, that works engagement-wise with maybe 30% of Trump supporters that are in a cult. I'm not saying Trump is a cult, but there are people that have formed a cult around him. You can have Dallas Cowboys fans that are normal, but there's a Dallas Cowboys cult. They're in their own cult. You know, you got people that are, you know, have cults of all sorts of weird stuff. You know, you could say Jeep fans have this cult of giving each other rubber duckies. It's a harmless cult, but it's weird. I've had them like, I was driving my daughter's Jeep one time at the beach this year, last year. down in Texas, Texas Beach. And, I mean, I had like 10 people come over and give me ducks, and including some attractive young women, and they were getting all excited. And then here's your duck. You want my mom's like, what's going on here? I mean, it's weird. But the point is, it's just some, it's a way people connect, something they do. It's like you're in our group, we're in your group. And I'm sorry, I'm not in MAGA. I support making America great again, but I want to make it free and prosperous and just and godly and good again. That's what I'm saying. So let's remember also what we're up against. The Democrat Socialist won a bunch of primaries, including in Florida, for the Senate there. Democrat Socialist Angie Nixon scored a surprise primary win in Florida U.S. Senate race. We're going to play a clip of some of her lunatic activities in a moment. But first, it's official. The Democrat Socialist America announced their platform to overthrow the U.S. Constitution, which means the country. This is terrifying. And you got Hakeem Jeffries joining him saying, we're going to pack the Supreme Court. We're going to do all these amendments. We're going to basically repeal the Second Amendment, the First Amendment. And people are like, well, you see, they're bad. Support Trump. Support him going into a losing proposition war that caused mass inflation, that pissed off the general public. I know how the public's brain works. And I've been proven right 170-something days in. And it's not about me going, I've been proven right. The Pentagon told Trump to do it. But most neocon followers don't even know that, because the neocons were smart not to attack the Pentagon assessment. That's too credible. Just make it about Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson and claim we're Qatari agents. So let's just play these back-to-back. Here's the Democrat Socialist announcing their platform to overthrow the country, literally, and all your due process, all your rights, everything, property rights, free speech, you name it. I mean, these people are sick. And then let's go right into a clip of Democrat Socialist running around on the floor of the Florida legislature, screaming and yelling and going crazy. If I did this, I'd go to prison for 10 years as an insurrectionist. They let old ladies through velvet ropes, and they got, you know, 6 months in jail or prison. Imagine, if we behave like this, but here it is.
Stands in the way of their planned revolution as these resurfaced comments give Republicans a new midterm attack line.
The two things that we're famous for is our commitment to a program and our hatred of the United States Constitution. And what the program does is it gives us a roadmap to revolution, and it gives us the obstacle that we finally will have to get over to have a revolution, which is the United States Constitution, the basis of the United States government.
All right. So with that, here now, Washington.
We got a lot more examples of things she said, too. Quite the commie. Oh, here's another one, too. And again, this is from the Gateway Pundit. This is not from some anti-Trump group. I mean, I know why the Gateway Pundit is so supportive of Trump. I mean, they're loyal, and they see that he's the lesser of two evils. And they've been sued by the Democrats and viciously attacked. So they've invested all this in Trump. So why would they turn against him? But more and more, they're not turning against him. They're reporting the truth. So Trump gets the red lights flashing. So he knows to pull over and put water in the radiator. And what's water in the radiator? In the war. Bring back the deportations that he basically curtailed and cut back. Stop the rhetoric about, I don't care about any American's economic plight. All I care about is this war. You can say, well, he didn't mean that, or it's out of context. You know what they're doing with it, with TV ads. And there's new ones all the damn time. Yeah, we're working on affordability. You're right. It's Biden's inflation. Sorry, your burritos are $40. Not pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you snot-nosed kids. Because let me tell you, there are a lot of hard-working Americans know inflation is busting our asses. It's insane. I got a lot of friends and family. I got friends and family that are working 2-3 jobs, and they're retirees. Now, it is because they want to go to the Kentucky Derby once a year. Maybe go to Cancun. They like to eat steak dinners once a week. So they bust their ass. They work hard. They play hard. Yeah, they could basically never go out to eat, never go on a trip on their military pensions and things like that. But they've all got jobs because they want to live, you know, have some fun. buy a nice rifle occasionally, you know, stuff like that. Maybe help their family out when they need it. But most people who are in that position do not like, even if they're Republicans, hearing there's no problem. They might hold their nose and put up with it and hope Trump can get us out of this. But when you run your mouth like that, Trump, that's what Mark Mitchell told you over a year ago when the vice president saw the interview, called Mark, said, come up here and present that to him. And he sat there with the vice president and others for 3 hours. Trump was in there 30 minutes and didn't want to hear it. Started changing the subject to other stuff and literally, you know, asking questions about, have you seen all the gold on the walls? And, I mean, this is what he does, folks. He'll start telling you about the ballroom. I don't care about your ballroom. By the way, I don't care they're obsessing about this aide they think are having sex. I don't care. Trump never ran on goody-two-shoes. Whatever between him and his wife, who hadn't been seen in 27 days, you know, she's got her own thing going. I don't care about that. Now, if he was Mr., I'm a pastor, and I'm totally, you know, one man, one woman, and you better not have sex, you know, outside wedlock, or you better not be promiscuous, I'd be, he's a hypocrite, get rid of him. I don't want to hear about, look, top story, his obsession with this aide. And the last implication was he was having sex with Caroline Leavitt. Probably all bull. You know, the press secretary, Trump works like 20 hours a day. He's constantly calling you and having you send out texts and burning everybody out. And women that have just had babies don't have the energy for that. What I've heard is, no, that's not going on. But it doesn't matter. Why are we talking about ballrooms and reflecting pools? And Trump does it more than anybody. He makes it about that. I don't want to hear about reflecting pools. I don't want to hear about ballrooms. I don't want to hear about who he might be sticking his wiener in. As long as it's not somebody under 18. I want to hear about the Iran war. I want to hear about deportations. I want to hear about getting jobs back to America. I want to hear about getting inflation down because we're at the end of the road. This isn't like we can have some big, long recession or depression and we'll come out of it. We have been teed up for economic collapse, and I am ultra pissed right now. Ultra pissed. I think you can tell that. I think you are as well. But look at this. Shocker. This is another one. There's a whole bunch of these. Republicans lose deep red Pennsylvania House seat held for 30 years. Trump won district by 18 points. Butler County side of Trump's assassination attempt decided by just 88 votes. Now, is there fraud in Pennsylvania? Yes. It's everywhere. When I went to Pennsylvania to speak with Tucker, for capacity, giant crowd, tens of thousands, I got mobbed in every little town and city I went to. I was there for a few days before. Great people. I've been to Pennsylvania before, but the cops would pull over and just shake my hand. The fire department, I mean, they're really awake. But also, they were expecting some action, just like the rest of America. And I would say a place like Pennsylvania is like the archetypal cross-section of the Midwest and of Texas or Illinois or anywhere. Just hardworking people that are straight shooters and are sick of the crap. And I'll guarantee if I went to Pennsylvania and asked people, what are they pissed off about? Stuff like, I don't worry about your economic problems. I worry about war. As if the ultimate thing is this Iranian nuclear weapon when the damn things are everywhere. And now Israel's miscalculation, as I predicted, has this alliance that Saudi Arabia and Turkey have set up that Syria is about to enter. And so that's why Israel just bombed Syria and the negotiators. Oh, boy, that's coming up next. And Iran, it's out of control. I told you they're belligerent. They're talking about attacking European targets in the region. We'll come back and cover it all. I'm extremely excited about this. You know we always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. It's the very same great manufacturer that made this, made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market and even better than powder because there's even better absorption, ultimate turmeric, and it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients. They're known as supercharged turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, this is works better than Advil. And you know, including family I've had that's like, well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I got to take a bunch of the pills. I said, just take two of these. And whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, wow, this worked better. Why? Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This raw turmeric's 4 to 5% curcuminoid. 95. Okay? So we're very excited about this tincture. Just a half dropper a day. So good for your whole body. 95% curcuminoids. The liquid is better absorption. And this is 60 servings per bottle, so 2-month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. If you lock in at 50% off, it's 25% off for everybody if you just buy it straight off at thealexjonesstore.com. The new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture. And it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, zingbeer officinal is the, I guess, the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, an amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy. Turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free, gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only, no additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins, they're about to sell out, the amazing shower filters of the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month, in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all future orders of that product as long as you stay subscribed. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New Liquid Ultimate Turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We've got it.
The transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
You've got it.
Now we see the earth now.
You've got it.
Now we see the earth.
You've got it.
Now we see the earth now.
All right.
I've been saying for 2 years that we're in a new world war. It just is in the beginning phases and now sliding towards the real kickoff of acceleration. A lot of the mainline think tanks and defense groups, well, now they don't call it defense publications, war publications, or now the Department of War, agree with me that the dominoes have begun to fall. And what got us into World War I and World War II was a smaller alliance with another alliance that's triggered by another fight that then dominoes into another bigger alliance with a larger alliance, and then major powers come in. That's the surest way to get a full world war. And I'm not going to go into why we're in a world war. You've heard me talk about it a lot when you've got what's happening in Asia and Europe and the Middle East and all these different power factions fighting at each other. And now every week, new people entering it and new alliances forming. And you analyze those alliances that are all massive escalations. And then you look at Israel's Greater Israel Project being the detonator. You know what a detonator is? Take a cartridge for, say, a 357 Magnum. You've got the casing. You've got the cap in the back, highly explosive, white powder. The firing pin hits it. It detonates a spark fire that lights the gunpowder. And then it explodes in a controlled explosion and fires the projectile down the barrel out towards its intended target. And so you could look at Israel's Greater Israel Project, them now saying they want parts of Syria and all of Lebanon and they're going to take over and all this. And we got nukes. You better watch it. As their minister said for the first time, saber rattling that they've had since the 60s, early 60s. And it's easy to look at threat escalation studies that they've all been done on these developments at different angles. And it would then cause a Pakistani alliance with Turkey and Saudi Arabia, putting them under a nuclear umbrella, and that means actually transferring nukes to them. Now, I've been saying that for years. Nobody was saying that. And then now it's all over the news. Okay? So I read the defense publications, but I also have the sources, and I also have a really good memory. And I'm obsessed with all the different factions. A lot of folks are obsessed with football or basketball or baseball. I'm obsessed with how this works. And so when I say these things and it's a big laughing stock and people like Mark Levin goes, oh, a world war, ha, 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 oh, yeah. You know, Saudi Arabia is going to get a nuke, ha, ha, ha. They already have nukes, dumbass. They signed a deal over 15 years ago with Pakistan to keep their nukes in Pakistan with their pilots there at an airbase. Now they moved the damn things a few months ago back in to Saudi Arabia. And I said, soon they'll announce the official nuclear umbrella, which they announced 2 weeks ago. Do you even know how these things work? No, you don't. In fact, he always admits, I don't know how the military works, but I believe in our military. Well, we can take the straight any time we want with our Navy. Really, when all the bases, the resupply of the Navy, have been blown up, and when they've got Chinese anti-ship missiles that they stole the technology from us under Clinton? No, we can't send ships in there. Unless we want to see them sinking. It's the new great game of alliances in the Middle East. What have I called it? The great game. The great game. Now, what do all the Financial Times of London and Jane's Weapons Quarterly and the RAND Corporation and the Pentagon, what are they now calling it? The relaunch of the great game. Do you not know what the great game is? It's for that exact same region, the British Empire. Better learn about it. I'm not arrogant about this. I'm pissed. Because I'm telling you real stuff, not things pulled out of my rear end. Iran's going to fall in 4 days, and you know, if we kill the mullahs, they'll give up. A first-year geopolitical military student, a first-year PhD, would instantly everyone tell you that's insane. It would make them stronger and make them get more vicious and dig in deeper. But you don't study those things, Mark Levin. Look. We're winning. Let's expand. The Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Huckabee. Israel can take it all. Yeah, they're going to take it all. Dude, oh, and what's going to happen when you take it all? Pakistan's got modern nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. That's fine. We'll just nuke them too. And then what's that do? Everybody nukes each other? It's called mutually assured destruction. It's been studied more than anything, probably. It's not something you do. You'd have to be what? Mad to do it. Meaning cuckoo, cuckoo, crazy. This is all human nature. So I knew where we were going. I knew it was going to happen. And unfortunately, it's happening just like I thought it would and all the other experts thought. And now you know where it goes next. I'll get to that in a moment. And Trump is now wisely really putting the brakes on Israel and saying stop it publicly. And they're saying screw you and launching the biggest attacks ever on Lebanon and other areas. And so the Iranians, what are they going to do? They're on the escalation ladder and they understand it's a game of brinksmanship. They're saying, okay, we're now preparing their official military command to hit European targets that in any way supply or work with the United States or Israel all over the Middle East. Here's a map that they put out. They're threatening and showing people maps of what their ballistic missiles can hit all the way out to Greece, Algeria, Libya, China, India. And they've proven they can do this. They've proven they got the payloads. And so what they're threatening is to expand this world war a lot worse. And so that's the reality. You say, well, they're crazy. Yeah. But, I mean, crazy like a fox, what do you think America would do if we were surrounded like this is being done? We'd probably act just the same. At least we would in the past. How would we act if Russia had us encircled in Mexico and Canada with nuclear-tipped missiles like Russia is encircled? We would never have put up with any of this. This is insane-level brinksmanship. So what's happened in the last 24 and 48 hours? UAE cuts ties with Iran, warns Gulf states against helping Washington, and UAE's been our big ally. Kepler says U.S. Navy gaining ground in Hormuz. Or gaining sea. You've got Steve Bannon reporting on this. Then we'll get to what Israel did yesterday. They hit the negotiation envoys from Turkey that were meeting with the envoys from Syria and killed them. And Israel said, yeah, we don't want a deal being made between Syria and Turkey, and we don't want Syria entering the nuclear umbrella defense alliance of Pakistan, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia. Turkey, by the way, has the largest ground military in Europe. What did we predict last week? It was actually Thomas, the producer, pointed this out, and Susie said, I said, of course, that's what this is. In fact, it's not like I'm saying, oh, I didn't know it, or, you know, I did know it. I mean, as soon as he said it, I was like, of course, I already knew that. Why aren't I saying that? But why wasn't anybody else saying it? That's Trump saying, hey, we might let Syria go into Lebanon if Israel doesn't pull out. And then I said, what, put Al-Qaeda in, which I don't support. But then I started getting into Trump's thinking, where he's saying to Israel, pull out or I'll make it a full war. Well, maybe that's what Israel wants. See, that's how this Mexican standoff craziness has gotten. And if you try to figure it out, even understand it, it doesn't make sense because it doesn't make sense. If you look at all that and go, that doesn't make sense. This is what happens at the threat escalation level with all these countries and these dominoes. It's a Mexican standoff. You know what a Mexican standoff is? Let's pull up the definition. It's where you got a bunch of people pointing guns at each other. And if anybody pulls the trigger, it's a circular firing squad and everybody loses. It's a Pyrrhic victory. It's a strategic defeat. It is a quagmire. It is a disaster. It is a cattywampus, goes to the world fair. You can call it whatever you want, but it ain't good. It means stuff is chaos, out of control. What did the Pentagon say in their public assessment 180 days ago, like 5 days before we launched this war? They said the probability is less than 10% that the Moodles will fall within the next few years. It's basically 100% they'll close the strait. That will cause major economic problems. It'll cause all sorts of regional problems, probably new alliances and a regional war. And so we recommend you don't do it. It is, quote, a gamble. And you shouldn't gamble. I mean, supposedly on a slot machine, you got like a 45% chance of winning. But we all know the casinos, you know, stuff kind of rig it, more like 70% chance you're going to lose. The only game, I guess, is a few you can actually have a slight chance of winning that are supposedly fair, but the dealer knows how to manipulate. It's what blackjack. And I'm not a gambler myself and not really a card player, but I've had some friends and family that were into blackjack, and I've sat there on a cruise ship, and I've sat there in Vegas, and I've sat there and watched them win tens of thousands of dollars, and then here comes the casino people, and they're all over you, and they're bringing in other dealers, and then all of a sudden you're not winning because you know they're cheating. So it's fine if you want to take your extracurricular money, discretionary income, and go blow it and, you know, give it to the corrupt gambling houses, because I don't like gambling. I'm not judging you if you do it. But notice now with young people, it's their main investment now is sports gambling. Well, that's not a good investment long term, is it? My point is, you sure don't want to make it your business model as an individual, unless you're some kind of idiot savant like Rain Man. And you sure as Hades don't want to do it for your national security strategy. So we'll get into what Israel's up to right now. And Israel said in the last year, Turkey and Egypt are the next enemy. Netanyahu's now said it. And they think we're going to be led along with them into this. That's crazy. So here's Steve Bannon talking about the situation. Say what you want about Steve Bannon. He's very smart geopolitically. Here it is.
Hang on a second. The 12-day war obliterated, and I'm quoting the president, total obliteration of the nuclear program, okay? I understand his priority, and it's a priority I think a lot of people support. They can't get a nuclear weapon. That being said, part two, starting on February 27th, let's just be blunt about it. This was bad information, bad intelligence fed by the Mossad and Netanyahu that said, and he had Lindsey Graham skipping around on video, that, hey, if you hit him with 5 or 6 days of strategic bombing, it's going to collapse. They're going to come out in the street like they did in January, and they're going to overthrow their government. This was a decapitation move, okay? This, because you can go look at the target set of his first days. That's a decapitation move, and guess what? The Persians hit back, expanded it to the after the Israelis did, you know, strikes on the oil, on the gas fields in Qatar, all of it. The center of gravity of battle shifted to the Persian Gulf and now to the Strait of Hormuz. The Koreans got their hands. Look, the government over there right now is more CCP aligned. We don't love that government whatsoever, but the South Korean people have been, if you go back to Korean War in Vietnam, I mean, they've been a great ally of the United States and stood in the breach in some very tough times, including in Vietnam, where they actually sent combat troops and did some fighting. They got their hands full. You know, Japan, Korea, and yes, sir, they sent naval vessels, but I don't know why we're bitching at South Korea when NATO hasn't done anything. You got the Royal Navy, you got the French Navy, you got the Italian Navy. We've been paying for these guys forever. They haven't given us anything. The Suez Canal and Red Sea, that ain't Korea's problem. That's your problem, and they got nothing. This is why we're so stretched out. So to ding them at the very moment that we have up-tempo, these are not exercises. These are preparations for an invasion of Taiwan. I don't see the strategic logic when we have so many deadbeat allies, including the Israelis, America's greatest ally, that continue to drag us in there. I mean, Kushner had to go over and try to get their attention on Gaza. The President Trump's got a plan, and he wants to fulfill it, and we don't want to go back into a shooting war in Gaza. So I understand that these guys didn't step up and help, but that's kind of marginalia, given that we have an existential threat, and we have Japan, we have South Korea, we got the Philippines, we got some pretty good allies, but they have to know we're committed. And one way to show you're committed is not to pull the carrier out, the one carrier battle group you've got in the Western Pacific, and send it through Malacca back to the North Arabian Sea.
Hit pause. So gotta, you know. And then slob the knob of Kim Jong-un and say we're not going to have these drills or we're going to cut them back to nothing because our ships aren't there, and then run down South Korea that has been going into the orbit of China and North Korea and has a communist leadership. But Trump thinks glazing Kim Jong-un is going to make him somehow be a little buddy or a little pal when clearly he is a creature of China and isn't going anywhere into a U.S. alliance. So very bad moves by Trump. And there's no naval or military or geopolitical expert that would disagree with me there. And Steve Bannon is a naval expert. And he talks to the other top people. I mean, this is dumb. And if you think turning against our ally, who's already going against us, with the people they're starting to go with, is 3D chess, no, it's just plain stupid. And to pull the last aircraft carrier out of there is nuts, because our aircraft carriers are ineffectual in the Middle East because of the threat pattern. And that's a whole other discussion, and you've seen that demonstrated, so I'm not going to elaborate on it. They got reportedly hundreds of those damn Chinese anti-ship missiles we can't stop, and that's why the Navy won't go anywhere near there. All right, let's go back to Bannon. Here it is.
To this, and right now there's not logic, and you can't argue it's about their nuclear program. Their nuclear program is totally obliterate. The other secondary attacks have done even more. Maybe now you have some special forces from the Israelis that can go in and clean up the dust. But, I mean, we're making major geostrategic moves, and I just don't understand where this all ties together on the logic of it, sir.
Yep. No, I agree, Steve. Look, I spent a lot of time in Korea. I have a lot of friends there, friends of mine in Korea about my age. They tell me that they learned English watching Armed Forces television. You know, I Love Lucy. I mean, that's all. And they're very, very pro-American. So I agree with that completely. I'm not saying whether what Trump's doing is a good idea. I was just trying to explain the White House logic, how Trump thinks about it, which is, you know, you hit me, I hit back. Whether hitting back is a good idea when we need South Korea and Japan and Taiwan, for that matter, the Philippines, to contain China. I don't think it is a good idea. I'm just trying to explain how the White House is thinking about it at the moment. The aircraft carrier, I mean, we have enough aircraft carrier strike forces. The idea of rotating it makes sense. So, you know, let's get the George H.W. Bush in there
That's babble. So I'm going to recap this. There's a meeting with Turkey and Syrian officials about them coming into the nuclear defense umbrella of Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. Because Pakistan's reportedly got over 1,000 nukes. And okay, so there you go. Israel's now in check. And if we go into checkmate, everybody has a nuclear war. So that's insane. That's called mutual assured destruction. So now Syria has already made an alliance with Russia, totally freaking out Washington. I predicted that would happen when they put the Al-Qaeda head in 2 years ago. This is so easy to predict. Because the entire system in Syria, even though it's run by Al-Qaeda now, was always pro-Russia. Russia's moved back into the bases. They're calling them peaceful now. Give me a break. And this is not going the way Israel envisioned it. And now Israel thinks they can blow up a delegation having a meeting about Syria joining this alliance, and that's not going to make them join the alliance? Very stupid. Erdogan urges Trump to continue talks with Iran, laments continued IDF strikes in Gaza. All of this with Ben-Gvir saying we're going to kill 40 Palestinians a day, just as a quota. All that's broadcast in the Arab and Muslim world. And why are they doing that? Meanwhile, Trump is threatening Arab countries that are allied with us that he'll attack them if they don't get behind an attack on Iran. I mean, that's just nuts. There's no other word to describe it. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to people just because I wish Trump was succeeding. I wish Trump wasn't doing this. I just wish that wasn't the case. All right, we're going to, a few minutes, go to the next hour. And I'm going to drill into the economy and have Kirk Elliott on, an expert on this, to break it down. But this has come to a head now. The predictions have come true. So I want to talk with him about what comes next. Because we can analyze all day what already happened. We already did that in past shows. We're here now. That's confirmed. We're right again, which we're not happy about. Believe me. Because when we collapse, it won't just be hellish. Then the commies are going to come in, and they're going to get voted in a lot of places. You already see it happening. You can see the next order of events. This is a disaster. So we better get vocal. We better expose things. And we better vote for Republicans. Even if we're pissed at Trump, he's lame duck, he's gone. This thing about, oh, vote Democrat to punish Republicans, horse crap. Vote for good Republican candidates, and they're all better than Democrats. So that's where I stand. My bitching at Trump is trying to get him back on course to stop destroying the economy that'll destroy us in the midterms, but I've already said that. Speaking of the economy, I'm funded by you, not by Qatar, not by the Israelis, not by anybody, but the viewers and listeners of this show on radio stations and the internet at AlexJonesLive.com and on Rumble. com/TheAlexJonesShow Live. Be sure to follow us there and on X at Real Alex Jones. And you're the emissaries, you're the ambassadors that share the live feeds on your email, text messages. That has all the effect. Keep it up. Thank you so much. You're amazing. And the show belongs to you. Take clips out, re-upload them anywhere. I'm not authorizing you. I'm begging you and asking you to do it. So we have the very best supplements that will change your life. Our ultramethylene blue is medical grade. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, energizes your body, cleans out the toxins. You feel instant energy within 30 minutes, but with no letdown. It's not a stimulant, but it's the best stimulant you've ever felt. It acts like one. We have the best, and we have the end of summer mega sale that is running 1 week. And I didn't even pay attention that this launched Monday. We're already on Wednesday. I was so busy. They said they were doing a huge sale, and I was so busy I didn't even read the thing they gave me. So this is only running. I'm going to ask them to extend it to next Friday, because it's supposed to end next Wednesday. So, but we'll see if they can even do that. 50% off methylene blue tincture, methylene red tincture that is proprietary and energizes methylene blue, atomic defense immune booster, but it's also great for your whole body, super food green gummies, incredible concentrates of all the very best vitamins and minerals that are in the greens, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. Optimal Human Mind Fuel is another amazing project. Creatine powder, 40% off. It's the highest quality creatine powder. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Turmeric gummies, 40% off. Ultimate Chill, 40% off. NAD, 40% off. These are all incredible, documented, known, the best. Almost all these are just private labels of the already top-rated bestsellers. Methylene Red is a proprietary we developed. It's incredible. But the Bovine Colostrum is the private label of the best brand in the country. You can argue it's in the top three, but the point is we thought it was the best. It's amazing what it does. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com, the end of summer mega sale right now. 20% off hats and shirts, and there's only like 75% markup in the average clothing, so 25% off is huge. We got a lot of new apparel as well, America-only shirts, 1776 designs, join-or-die shirts, a lot of really cool limited edition designs at thealexjonesstore.com as well. We have the new ready-to-mount gun magnet as well that works for all handguns. It's amazing. That's only $19.95 right now. Stores sell for $40-$50 all day long. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com, and we're in a fundraising mode to get the new studios finished and ready and to hire more crew and more hosts. It's up to you. We need the support. We've proven we take action. We've proven we don't play games. We've proven we're fearless. The only other ingredient we need, the variable, is you to support us financially and word of mouth at thealexjonesstore.com by sharing the information. Separately, you've heard all the news and all the scientists and mainstream media about ivermectin and minbenzidol, and that it's not just anti-parasitic. It does so many other incredible things to detox you and to knock out bad stuff. We have the best medical grade through a pharmacy. This is pharmacy grade. There's a lot of fake stuff or watered-down crap online that you'll pay just as much for. Go to 1776rx.health to get a subscription to it and get it massively discounted. 1776rx.health and get your ivermectin with minbenzidol now and experience this for yourself. 1776rx.health. And I want to thank you all for your support, but believe me, these products all really work. 1776rx.health and thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back with our number 2, 3, and 4. Masses of news, special guests, and more straight ahead.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited
going to be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally.
Yeah, you are like that normally.
unlimited populous power!
Volunteer power!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Well, quantitative easing has begun again, as predicted by our next guest, Dr. Kirk Elliott, economist, PhD. But first, I want to play a little report that John Bowne put out today, because it goes back several years ago, even before Butler. I said, look for surface-to-air missiles in an Iran connection, and the globalists will claim that Iran's trying to kill Trump with surface-to-air missiles. If he buys into that, they may then kill Trump with surface-to-air missiles to blame Iran to go to war with Iran, or once we're in a war with Iran, expand a war with Iran. Trump has walked into the trap perfectly, saying if he ever gets killed, it's Iran, nuke Iran, destroy them. And now you just set the table for the deep state to get rid of somebody that they don't fully control, that they're pissed off at, though he's made some mistakes, and then they get the war and the control they want out of it. Here is John Bowne's report. Be sure and share it. Trump plane switch specific threat was from shoulder-fired surface-to-air missile. That's at AlexJonesLive.com. And I said specifically it'll be Israel that shoots him down years ago. And says Iran did it.
Service-to-air missile. I want the clip. I've been talking about service-to-air missile, and Trump needs anti-missile defense systems.
Footage from the night shows Trump boarding a former Air Force One jumbo jet. He is then reportedly shuttled minutes later into a smaller plane via an airport catering truck typically used to load food and supplies onto aircraft.
So I go by Secret Service and the military. They wanted me to go on a different flight, a different plane, equal safety, but they wanted me to do it, so I do it. I do what they say. Well, I don't know. I think actually the plane that I flew on was at greater risk. I think it was at greater risk because that would be the plane I think that they would be more likely to go for. I don't worry about anything, to be honest. Whatever it is, you know my attitude, whatever.
He'll then say, if I ever get killed, it's Iran's fault. So that sets Israel up to kill Trump so they can control things more here domestically.
I'm number one on their list before you. But if I go, you go. Right?
But there's
so perhaps someday you want to change professions.
So I want the archivist to find, I said it like 500 times, it won't be hard. Surface to air missile, and when we put this as an archive to X, later today, the full show, I want that added in there, and we'll cut me explaining it out. But I'm going to say it because it got missed. Surface-to-air missile.
Surface-to-air missiles, or SAMs, are radars or infrared-guided missiles that are fired from the ground into the sky. They're mainly designed to obstruct and destroy aircrafts or other missiles.
Olden days when we had to shoot guns at airplanes, it was a lot easier to miss. Now, because we have radar-controlled missiles and we have infrared heat-seeking missiles, and we even have visually tracked and controlled missiles, the chances of them missing when they shoot at you are very, very low.
And now, what broke today? The Pentagon says, and the CIA says, it's a false assessment, it wasn't true, but Israel told Trump they're there with surface-to-air missiles to shoot down your plane.
I, frankly, would not have relied just totally on Israeli intelligence. I think it was important at that moment to talk to our own CIA director or talk to our CIA officials and determine whether or not it was a credible threat and whether or not we had intelligence that, in fact, that kind of threat existed. I don't know that that took place here. I've worked with Mossad. We've shared intelligence before. But generally, it was a relationship of trust. When you have a competitive relationship here in which you're not quite sure what exactly is the reason for providing this intelligence directly to the president as opposed to talking to our intelligence officials and determining whether it's credible, that raises concerns that we just have to be a little bit careful about taking action without verification of the intelligence that's coming in.
Service to air missile.
Bottom line, I warned this would come out of nowhere. They would say Trump was going to get killed by it. It would be Israel behind it, and that Israel would try to kill Trump with the missiles. Now Israel specifically comes out with fake intel that Iran is trying to kill him with missiles to set it up for them to kill him with missiles. My prediction is coming true. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision. And that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists, you'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Now, if you're a TV viewer, I'll describe it for radio listeners. You continue to see me in the last year, but particularly now in the last month, talking about Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan and a nuclear umbrella mutual defense alliance. And Iran's talking about even coming into this with Pakistan. Qatar's been talking about it, but Israel's attacks on Lebanon, Syria, all of this is triggering this. And so yesterday you've got a bunch of envoys and troops from Turkey at an air base meeting with the Syrians about them coming into this defense alliance. 2 weeks ago, the Al-Qaeda leader that the West helped put in charge 2 years ago, right before Trump got in, went and met with Putin in Moscow and signed the defense deal. The Russian troops and ships came back in this week. So, see, this isn't going the way Israel wanted their greater Israel project. I said, oh, you've defeated these Hezbollah operatives, and now you say you're going to have greater Israel, and Ben-Gavir, your intelligence head, says you're going to take over Syria and Lebanon. What's going to happen? You're going to drive Syria and everybody into these new alliances under the nuclear umbrella. And the Israelis are like, well, we'll just kill more Iranian officials. Well, they got more behind those. And all the studies show it would just make them more hardcore when they did this or killing the mullah. So this just shows you how this is one-dimensional thinking by Israel and one-dimensional thinking by Trump. It was 2.5 years ago before Trump was even back in with Kirk Elliott, renowned economist, started coming on the broadcast. I was fully aware of his work for over 20 years. He used to work at WorldNet Daily. Said one of the few things that will derail Trump is a pandemic, which they tried but failed with mousepox and all the rest of it, and monkeypox and the rest of it. Or a war with Iran. And now here we are. And now Iran holds the cards closing the strait. We keep hearing it's open. It's not. And so does Israel think blowing up these envoys at this event is going to make them not join this nuclear umbrella alliance with Pakistan, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia? I predict it'll have the opposite effect. So Israel's bit off more than it could chew. Even if you want a greater Israel, you should know it's not possible. And reportedly, Pakistan has more nukes than Israel does. So they're now in check. Checkmates a nuclear war, nobody wins. Mutual defense, the alliances that preceded Turkey, Pakistan, Saudi pact. I wanted to go over that because I don't see the strait being fully open for a long time. Iran has asked for things that I believe the United States will not do. Like, get all your troops out of the Middle East and give us $500 billion. Now it's $300 billion. They've been negotiating. But at the same time, they hold the cards because, yeah, it's going to hurt Iran, the closure of the strait, but they believe the West, under pressure, won't be able to handle it. Then the migrant flows with half the fertilizer that goes to Africa comes out of the strait. One-third of the world's comes out of the strait, but half of Africa's. That's already causing mass problems, predicting mass famine. The UN is, which I agree with, next year. Huge migrant flows you're already seeing increase. You add all this in, it affects the economy big time. So it's so good to get Dr. Kirk Elliott on right now. And in the past, when we were bigger, we're going to get back to being big. We had three or four people just to get predictions of guests on so they could grab the clips. And really, people love that. Ooh, here he is 2 years ago saying it, a year ago saying it, a month ago saying it. Now here it is. But a lot of you listening, you heard him say it. You heard him predict it. And you heard him go over it. But look at this. The results of the big, beautiful bill are in, breaking U.S. interest expense on the national debt at a record $1.4 trillion, or the GDP, over the last 12 months. That's when you're a banana republic, when your GDP is your debt, or servicing the debt. Since 2020, the cost of servicing the U.S. public debt has already tripled. Here comes QE light. Yields dollar tumble, gold spikes up for Treasury, unexpectedly double size of long end Treasury buybacks. That's what Kirk said they're going to do. They're going to monetize the debt. When foreign governments don't buy our government bills, we will buy it, and that is pure inflation. Treasury doubles debt buybacks as percent moves to steady bond market. Let's give people an overhead shot of this, please. I want people to see these articles. I want people to read these articles for themselves. Bond market quake is bad news for governments, businesses, and consumers. The rising stakes, the global bond rout. Sea of red, future slide as market wakes up to soaring bond yields and diesel prices. Bloomberg says all the lights are flashing red. Agriculture to commodities prices break out. A J.P. Morgan food crisis warning gets louder. Foreign holdings of treasuries drop in June, led by Japan, UK, and China, as high as 12% leaving. Housing starts plummet in July. These are all the red lights flashing. But Trump says, don't worry, we'll just name the Strait of Hormuz the Strait of America. More gimmicks. I want Trump to succeed, but that's not what's happening. Now, these are my articles I wanted to go over with Elliott. He sent me a whole bunch of video clips and more. But we've already told everybody the story. Ad nauseum. I don't even really see going over what's happened now and how we were right. Maybe we spend a few minutes on that, but talk about what comes next, and is there any off-ramp to this? Because, you know, I was the one saying 6 months ago, since this happened, I said, I don't think it's going to end. I think we're in big trouble. And Kirk said, well, maybe, but I think there's still hope. Then a few months ago, he said, I don't think there is now. We should start getting ready for what's going to go down and position ourselves. We're not happy it's happening, but to be in the best position to do well out of this, to make lemonade out of lemons. So, Dr. Elliott, let's talk about where we are, these different things. The Russia war expanding, them not exporting a lot of energy, including no diesel. How this all feeds into the perfect storm, and then what you predict is going to unfold, and is there any off-ramp? Then I want to look at all the new stuff you sent me. Dr. Kirk Elliott is also the biggest silver and gold broker by volume in the United States at kepm.com/gold. When you go /gold, you get put right into the heart of the operation, and they know the support came from this broadcast. Kirk Elliott, kepm.com/gold. You just go there and you get a free consultation. Put it in your email. They'll call you. You can also call a number we'll put on screen as well. Very smart to do that. If anything, they're too low pressure, though. You just need to get your silver and gold and get it right now. They sold it wholesale. Great place to get it. Best place to get it. Get yours right now. 720-605-3900. We're really proud to have him as a sponsor, but that's a side issue to the overall economic discussion. And it's basically a byproduct of, you know, we hate what's happening overall, but at least we should all get positioned to protect ourselves and our family with what we have to work with. So, Dr. Elliott, thanks for being here. It's all coming true, maybe a little bit worse than we even predicted because we don't like to put a bad spin on it. But privately, this is pretty much exactly what you said. I mean, you said it publicly, but it's not pretty. Is it too late for Trump to pull out? I don't think Iran will let us pull out. Now they're talking about striking targets, European targets now. They seem to think they have the initiative, which I think is a desperate gamble by them as well. Dr. Elliott.
I mean, I don't think it's too late to pull out of Iran, but I think it's too late to actually save the dollar, sadly. I mean the dominoes have already started to fall. And when you look at the cause and effect, right, we've talked a lot literally since February when this conflict started, the rising cost of oil, the inflationary pressures, that's going to cause yields to rise on the 30-year bond. So why does that matter, right? So when yields rise on the bond, why? To A, slow down inflation. B, to attract more foreign capital, right? So if you have something that's not worth very much. If you have something where the propensity to pay off your debt is very low, you're going to have to entice people with a higher rate. It's like a junk bond, right?
Absolutely, Kirk.
Yeah. I mean, this is where we are. Like, for example, let's just say you're an individual investor and you wanted to buy General Motors. I'm just making up a story here. And General Motors has more debt than what they're going to be able to pay off in the bond. Who would invest in that? Well, nobody. Nobody would invest in something where they think they're not going to get their money back. This is the case for the U.S. dollar right now. This is why country after country after country is starting to de-dollarize the world, right? They're just unloading. That just means they're unloading their U.S. treasuries. They're getting rid of them. Why? Because of the mechanics of bonds. When interest rates go up, the value of bonds comes down. So if you were Japan, for example, let's just take the current news. Japan was bailed out by the United States. So Treasury Secretary Bessent basically bailed out Japan a couple weeks ago with over $80 billion in one day to bail out the yen. Now, why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just bail out the U.S. economy rather than bailing out the yen, right? It's not even us. What does it matter? Well, it matters because when people or countries run out of money, what do we do? Like if you and I were to run out of money, we start selling things that we have. We'll have a garage sale. We'll do whatever. We'll just try to make ends meet. What does Japan have that Secretary Bessent and the Fed and the Treasury Department and Trump doesn't want them to sell? What don't they want them to sell? U.S. Treasuries. They're the third largest owner of U.S. Treasuries on earth. The Federal Reserve is number one because they just buy them because they're the buyer of last resort and their balance sheet is absolutely toxic at the Fed. China's number two. Japan is number three. So Japan signaled to the rest of the world when the yen carry trade was unwinding, which was financing global expansion for the last since 1999, right? It's like that's why the globe has expanded economically is the yen carry trade. Well, this is unwinding. Their interest rates are going up. They are no longer, Alex, willing to bail out their own currency. So they're telling the world, look, this is my paraphrase. If you don't want us to sell your assets, you better bail us out. So what Scott Bessent did was he bailed them out because if he didn't, they would have started to unload U.S. treasuries on the open market, which would have caused the value of bonds to come down, which would cause the yield to go up. There's an
inverse. So let's stop right there because you said this a year ago. You said when the yen carry trade ends a few months ago, which it did, expect to see this moment of this bailout, which is really just a way of quantitative easing to give them money to continue to buy it. Now the world saw that even though we bailed out Japan and they began to exit because of the signal. So it's not really working. So now he's had to double the amount of monetization of the bonds, yeah, which is QE, whatever you want to call it. What would you call this? So we've told him what was coming. So we're kind of going over what you predicted. You were dead on. What comes next now?
Well, what comes next is just what we saw this morning. So the Treasury announced the increased size of nominal long end liquidity, meaning instead of operations of $2 billion at a crack, $4 billion at a shot, they are going to actually start buying 10-year to 30-year U.S. treasuries. Why do they have to buy them? Because the rest of the world doesn't want them. They need to provide liquidity to the system when the rest of the world doesn't want it anymore. Well, where does this money come from? It comes from the Fed. How do they get it? They press the red button on the printing press. Literally, this is quantitative easing on steroids to try to save the U.S. dollar. But this is one of those weird circumstances where the medicine to heal the patient is worse. It's worse. It's going to make matters worse. And they just proved our point. By this operation, they just proved our point because the rest of the world doesn't want U.S. treasuries anymore, right? So what is the net implication of this? Well, let's watch a video from Ray Dalio, billionaire hedge fund manager, very smart guy. What does he think is the end result of this? Well, to be a spoiler alert, he thinks the same way that you and I do. He thinks we're beyond the point of no return economically. Let's just watch. It's a short video, and then we'll talk
about it. Here's a clip of Ray Dalio. Here it is.
You've been doing a lot of work. You've been busy with these five forces that have been shaping the global economy. Just to quickly go through them: money and debt, internal order and disorder, power conflict, acts of nature, and technology. I want to start on that first one, though, because it's a point that you've made globally, but here in the U.S. $7 trillion in spending, but only $5 trillion in revenue. Ray, are we already past the point of no return, that the fact we have this dynamic means that some sort of crisis is inevitable?
Yes, we're past the point of no return, meaning when debt service payments squeeze out spending, like plaque in the circulatory squeezes out the flow of money, the flow of blood, it's the same kind of thing. It could be measured. So we're seeing that happen. And then there's a supply and a demand issue. The supply of one budget deficit means that debt has to be sold, and you have a supply-demand issue. And we could see it happening in the bond market. And we could see that bonds have been a bad investment, and that there's pressure in interest rates, and there's borrowing. And that's one of the five factors, as you're saying. But that dynamic is happening. People are treating it if it hasn't happened before. They don't understand that, like plaque in the arteries, that it builds up and they have that exposure.
So, if anything, today, to viewers and listeners, I'm not being alarmist enough. Everything Kirk Elliott's predicted and others have predicted is now happening. The real aftermath and real effects of the Strait of Hormuz being closed for 170 days off and on have not even hit yet. Trump is legitimately trying to get Israel to stop, but every peace deal, like we saw in Syria, gets bombed by them. Now they're bombing Turkish military because they're at a meeting with Syria about joining their nuclear alliance with Pakistan. This is off the races. This is unhinged. So what are the different scenarios we see in front of us? I know they run from bad to worse. I don't want to be a negative person, but I think people deserve to know what they're facing so they can get ready.
I mean, different scenarios are simply interest rates keep going up. The yield keeps going up. If you look at what's happened recently, the 30-year Treasury this morning, before we recorded this, is at 5.2%. It's the yield on the 30-year bond. That's the highest since 2007. So, but let's see how that's accelerated in just the last few years. In 2021, September of 21, the yield is 1.89%. It has grown by 175% growth rate just since September of 21. So when that yield goes up so much, the demand is coming down. So what comes next? They have to try to bail out the U.S. dollar. Because when you've got the yield that's growing that fast and the value of bonds goes down when yields go up, if Japan were to say, we don't want to sell our bonds today because we just don't, let's wait till tomorrow. Let's wait till the next day. Let's wait till next week or next month. With yields going up every day that they wait, they actually lose money on their bond position. And that's not just Japan. That's globally. So there's this impulse to try to get rid of U.S. treasuries sooner rather than later in a rising yield, you know, marketplace with the bonds. This is going to accelerate, Alex, the demise of the dollar. That's what's coming. And so the operation this morning that was announced by the Treasury Department to bail out bonds is going to accelerate. That's very inflationary, right? And so I was watching stupid, you know, mainstream media news this morning and said, oh, these high yields, there's a pro and a con to it. The con is, boy, interest rates, the cost of debt, it's going to go up. What's the pro? That people's savings accounts, interest rates, they're going to get more on their savings accounts. That is one of the dumbest things that I've ever heard a financial columnist say, because the savings rate in America is 2.7%. Like, people don't save anymore. They don't have enough money, right? What was it? The savings rate in April of 2020 was 31%. Today it's 2.7%. People don't have money to put away in this economy. And at the same time, interest rates are going up. I mean, I look at this and I think people are really going to stop spending because they can't afford to, not because they don't want to spend. They can't afford to spend, which is going to impact the stock market. It's going to impact corporate America. It's going to impact the job market.
So are we facing stagflation? Would you call it a depression? What is it? And then let's do a plug, because you're the highest rated gold and silver company out there. Now is the time. You've been saying this for months and months and months when it raced up to all-time highs. You said, watch, there'll be some corrections. But after that, you said, I'm not sure how long it'll be, 6 months, whatever. We're going to see an explosion when the market realities come back about inflation and the rest of it. But gold is, you know, obviously up over 2% just today. If you look at the 20-year graph, it went to all-time highs and dropped a little bit. Do you believe we are seeing the bottom of that correction on gold and silver? Or what do you think is happening?
I think we already saw the bottom of it. So if you go back to middle of July, a month ago, silver was $56 an ounce. Today it's over 66. It's up 19.8% in a little over a month. Gold is up 13% since the middle of July. I say we've hit the bottom back in July. Now, I'm not God. I don't control the markets. From day to day, you're going to have fluctuations. But that's a strong trend. In light of and right smacking in the face of the mainstream media news that says, oh, when interest rates are high and we've got inflation, gold and silver aren't going to do very well. We've run that correction and the narrative is now shifted to really supply and demand. What does the world want?
But you understand, I could go back 3 months ago and play you saying this and it would fit today word for word. You literally called this because of all the fundamentals. And as soon as you said the inflation comes home to roost, as soon as that's clear, you didn't think they could suppress it more than a few months. We're now here. So then you predicted the future. What comes next then? I already asked the scenarios, but how bad is it going to get?
It's going to get bad. So why Bessent needed to intervene is because we have an economic Armageddon coming by the end of this year. So of our $40 trillion worth of debt, we have $40 trillion worth of debt. $9 trillion of that is in short-term debt that needs to be refinanced. It's not long-term bonds. It needs to be refinanced by the end of this year. $9 trillion of our balance sheet needs to be refinanced by the end of this year, when we've already seen and just talked about how interest rates have gone from 1.89 to 5.2. I mean, they're going to refinance.
So it's an impossible situation. What about this number that Thomas Massey put out? The cost of debt now at $1.4 billion a year just to service, tripling from just 2020. I mean, my God, that right there, that's banana republic right there. Explain that to people.
Oh, but $1.4 trillion a year. I mean, Massey,
did I say billion? Sorry,
wrong.
About trillion, sorry.
Yeah, you said billion. It's trillion. I mean, that's at current rates. When they have to start refinancing that at rates that are sometimes double what they're in now. I mean, this is so bad. Literally, that they have to refinance at higher rates. And it's already bad at 1.4.
Well, stay there. Let's come back and talk about other things to kick in, because I'm not an economist like you, but I do study this. What happens when the rating agencies start to devalue us? Does it that then trigger stuff even worse?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we're seeing just the tip of the iceberg right now. This is sad. And I don't want to be a prophet of gloom and doom. I want to be a prophet of talking about reality and solutions to try to help fix that problem.
Yeah, great job, Netanyahu, getting us in this war. Thanks a lot, jerk. We could have avoided this, you jerk. I mean, I'm telling you, that's why I'm pissed at Israel, man. I'm pissed at Netanyahu. We are screwed. We'll be right back. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, You've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have this system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. I will only steer you into supplements that I absolutely know work. I'll only steer you into the gold and silver that I know from my own research is the best deal. It's all very clear and transparent. And my biggest frustration, that's why I can't wait to hire more editors and archivists and crew members, because we used to have at least 10 more people in production. And over all the lawsuits and attacks, we got crushed down to where we are, but we're trying to grow back. If I could just have just a person, you know, assigned, not even full-time, to Kirk Elliott and what he said, it's all come true. It's crazy. And you let's do a plug right now, because you're a great sponsor. You fund the operation. That helps everybody get the word out and fight tyranny. And it's a great move to get into gold and silver. All the numbers just in silver for production of batteries and computers and weapons and everything else, all the numbers, all the studies. You know, you've got what J.P. Morgan and all them, you know, predicting silver hundreds of dollars more than it is. I mean, just insane stuff. Gold. Clearly, all the institutions are buying it up. Governments are buying it up. I don't come in and say this is the surest bet there is if it's not. I mean, it's gold and silver, period, and that's already been demonstrated. People saw it race up, you know, to all-time highs 6 months ago, and then manipulations and corrections. We described it, and then we explained all the market fundamentals that, and you said literally, I don't see this more than, you know, 6 months or so, being able to suppress it, and it looks like the bottom was hit, and then now is going back up. But they've got other tricks up their sleeves to try to suppress that while they buy it hand over the fist, telling the public not to. But talk about the services at KEPM.com/gold for a few minutes and what people can do and also financial instruments you can roll over. And then let's get into from bad to worse where we are now. I agree with you. There's really no way to turn this around, but how bad it will be, I think we can course correct. It's like you're going to be in a car wreck. Will you just have a fender bender, or will you, you know, die in a head on collision at 100 miles an hour? This is just a disaster. I know that the White House, particularly the vice president, is really worried about this. On so many fronts, Trump is worried. He's had blowups that I first reported 6 months ago that he's had a lot. And since it has been mainstream news, he has those blowups over the Strait of Hormuz. Well, then why did he get induced into this? But that's kind of crying over spilt milk. I want to talk about what you say scenarios are coming up and then how we salvage this. But first, tell people about Kirk Elliott Precious Metals.
Yeah. So, I mean, investing in metals is not a paper thing. It's not an ETF. It's not digital. It's owning the physical metals themselves in silver, 1,000-ounce bars, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, 1-ounce refinery rounds, and gold, 1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, right? If it's not one of those, you shouldn't own them, right? So now the process is easy because my team handles it for you. You just have to fill out a couple of forms. We'll work on the asset transfer. But you can do that with your brokerage accounts or checking accounts easy enough. You can do it with IRAs. If it has the word IRA in it, you can put it into physical metals. That would be traditional, Roth, simple, inherited, you know, SEP. All, and if it has IRA in it. Now, if you have a 401k, still you can if you're 59 and a half or older. You just roll it into a traditional IRA. Now, so that's what we do. But it's not a transaction to us, Alex. It's a relationship, right? So you buy, you sell, but life happens in between the bookends of those transactions. We will hold your hand through this economy. We'll let you know when it's time to buy and sell. I send out a weekly video every single week to all of my clients all over the world of this is what I'm thinking politically, economically, socially, spiritually. This is why we're doing what we're doing. Why is that important? Because it's not just enough to be in the right place at the right time. You have to know why you're doing it to give you peace of mind. Right? And so I just wrote a book, and any of you who call in for a consultation, we'll send it to you for free. It's just a free ebook called The Bullion Blueprint. And it exposes the lies in the industry where people are promoting, not people, companies, right? Semi-numismatic, rare coins, collectibles, commemoratives, as investments. They're not good investments. Now, they might be good to raise money for fundraisers. It might be good for like a Christmas gift or something because it has somebody's face on it that you like and you admire and blah, blah, blah. But as an investment goes, don't overpay for that stuff. That's why I wrote this book. And if you call in, we'll just send it to you. It's free ebook on understanding how this industry works and the things that you should buy, the things that you shouldn't buy, and why. I mean, that's what we bring to the table and been doing it for a long time. Been in this industry since 2002. And God's just really blessed our company because we treat people like family.
It's that simple. Now let's talk about the hard facts. We talked about an Iran war being Trump's Achilles heel for the economy, bare minimum, and potentially total regional war, world war, nuclear war. Now, we've talked about the past. We predicted it all. It's here basically exactly as you said. We did different scenarios, bad to worse. We're about in the middle of that, kind of trending towards the worst scenarios. What are the real scenarios here? Let's just get down to brass tacks.
So one of the biggest scenarios unfolding right now, like within the last week, is something that you and I talked about, Project Enbridge, a joint project between the BRICS nations, China, and the Bank for International Settlements. What it is digital payment rails to settle between countries digitally in pretty much anything.
And let's quantify. Anything. I should have said this. If all this points towards the end of the dollar, which we used to go to war over to support, it's not like people running Washington are total idiots. Why? That's the first question. Sorry. That's an important question I should have asked. I meant to ask at the start of the show, start of the interview. Why are they doing things that will destroy the dollar and empower the BRICS and push us onto a new central bank digital currency when everything Trump said was about securing the dollar? Why are they doing this? Did Trump think it was a short-term gamble to lower the dollar? He could bring it back? Is there still a chance for that? Go ahead and start over.
I think it's kind of too late because this cycle has to play itself out. It's not that this current administration or any administration in America wants the dollar to be dead. The rest of the world does. Right. And so China, the BRICS nations want to be the world's reserve currency, not the U.S. dollar. Why? Because when you have built in demand for your currency that we've had since in the 1940s under Bretton Woods, it made the U.S. dollar the world's reserve currency, meaning other countries needed to settle in the U.S. dollar so we could print like there is no tomorrow and there's still demand for your currency. So what this Project Enbridge did is we're moving digital, Alex. Whether people like it or not, we're going into a digital world, whether it's central bank digital currency or blockchain or whatever, right? So what this does is it allows settlement in things outside of the U.S. dollar. And it's not just a singular choice. It's like, well, we don't want to settle in the U.S. dollar. Let's pick the euro or let's pick the yen or whatever. You can settle in anything. So the competition to the dollar just went extreme number of choices, which diminishes the demand for the dollar even more. Now, who basically said yes to this last week? Germany did. Germany said, hey, this Project Enbridge thing, these digital settlement rails, we'll settle in Chinese currency instead of the U.S. dollar now. Germany did. Right. So this is accelerating at a rate quicker than what I think you and I even thought it would accelerate at. Because when you start to lose demand for the dollar, and they're increasing the supply like it's nobody's business, this is what all this printing is about. You have higher supply, lower demand. It is going to devalue the currency. We go into an inflationary spiral, I think, like we haven't experienced before. Now, other countries have. Other countries go through inflationary depressions and recessions. Venezuela did, Argentina did, Weimar Republic Germany did. Now, I'm not talking about hyperinflation in America. I'm just talking about a scenario where you are going to lose demand for the dollar. We've got too much printing, and it is going to be an inflationary time period. And this is why I think next year you're going to start to see interest rates rise even more, which basically impacts the bond market terribly, which is why Ray Dalio said it's beyond the point of no return. So how do you fix it? Policymakers are going to try to fix this by inflating or dying, that they're in an inflate or die mode. This is what the Treasury Department's announcement this morning signaled. So what goes up during inflation? Gold and silver do. See, this is the thing. The war isn't over. The conflict isn't over in Iran. And I've said for months, once that conflict is over, you probably see silver at triple digits again within 60 days after that. Well, we're on that trajectory now to get there, even with the conflict. Why? Because the narrative has shifted from this noise about inflation and interest rates to simply supply and demand. And we have to ask ourselves a simple question. Is the demand for AI chips going down? I'm not talking about AI stocks. I'm talking about AI as a function of life.
You're not talking about the AI bubble. You're talking about the AI actual nuts and bolts of the hardware.
The use of it. Right. You know, Anthropic and Claude and ChatGPT, this is going to replace jobs moving forward.
So demand is only increasing.
Yeah. I mean, it's the creepiest thing in the world that they are doing stuff to make humans non-existent. I mean, in Denver, I know in Austin, you've got Waymos driving around with no drivers. It's like, okay, you don't even need Uber drivers anymore. I was in Miami not too long ago, and you've got these stupid little like cooler robots that go down the sidewalks so you don't need Uber Eats delivery people anymore.
I drive by golf courses and you don't see people anymore. You see robots, not just little ones. You see big ones. And the point is the corporations with the ESG scores are only investing in this because they're only given financing to do it. They are purposely setting up a world where humans can't operate. So people say, oh, we'll just reject this. No, we're being forced, like you go to McDonald's, which I don't do. It's all kiosk now. Even though it doesn't work, it sucks. I try to go to places like Michael's Art Supplies. I won't even go there anymore because there's no humans. This is all part of a larger plan.
It is, and to what end? It's to make people so dependent on government that they have no choice but to say, hey, look, if we're going to survive, if we're going to get any kind of benefits, entitlements, welfare, anything like that, universal basic income, we have to buy into their system. This is all about control. And the creepy thing about all of this is a lot of America is buying into that message. I mean, we talked about this two shows ago. So about a month ago, we talked about this, how when the Tea Party movement started on the right, it split the Republican Party between the RINOs and the Tea Party movement. Tea Party movement basically turned into MAGA, where the left was more unified. Now the left is splitting. And you've got the Democratic Socialists and, like, I would call them your Kennedy Democrats, like the more moderate ones. Well, that party's now splitting. So we almost have four parties in America.
That's right. And so many Republicans are mad about talk of an America First Party. I think it'll be like the Tea Party, where it just keeps the Republicans honest. I don't see that actually being a new party itself. But talking to folks involved, their intent right now is not to actually have a new party. It is to create enough clout to be able to re-inject why the Tea Party basically took over the Republican Party, and it's to get control basically away from the Israel lobby and others. But so that's a good revolution there overall, though frightening to some. But with the Democratic Socialists, who are just communists, that is cancer.
It is cancer, and people don't understand that. See, this is what happens when people start to run out of money. They're going to start to vote for the people that will give them the most out of the public treasury.
That's why we've got to get ahead of this crisis, so we're positioned to give people the real solution, not the communist solution that's actually being financed by BlackRock, because BlackRock knows you'll never really get communism, but you'll get control fascism with a bunch of commies demanding free stuff, which will be the social credit score. That's why BlackRock is funding the communists and the American socialists.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Scandinavian countries. They're democratic socialists. You tax the wealthy, and this is where a lot of Americans have it wrong. And the young people going through college right now, and they're getting taught that capitalism is bad, socialism is good. It's like, capitalism, what is it? It's a foundation where you can work hard so you can play hard. You work hard, you create a company without a lot of interference, you're going to hire people, then those people make money. That's what capitalism
is.
It's
night and day. The globalist communism isn't failed. It always creates hell on earth. It's designed for control. But anybody thinking they're going to get a free this and that long term under communism are idiots. It's cheese on a mousetrap to capture the mouse, and you're the mouse.
Yeah. And if they get their way, it will cost trillions. And you know what?
Well, look at Mondami. Already record cost in rents. He said, I'm going to have free buses. Now they double the price. Everything he's doing is actually destroying the real economy and exploding prices. But then the communists go, we'll give him more power. Because they're invested in the fraud. Just give him more power and someday it'll be free.
Yeah. I mean, this is what America is showing. Mamdani got two people elevated to win their primaries. Look at what's happening in other states, in Minnesota and elsewhere. It's like, why do people like this message? This is going to create trillions of dollars of more expenses. And here's a guarantee: in a world where there's no guarantees, they are not going to stop just overtaxing the wealthy. They're going to start taxing the middle class because they have to. Right. And this is why it's important to talk about this now economically, because if we don't wake up and start supporting free markets and ideas that actually can grow the U.S. economy, we're going to have an economy that shrinks, goes into stagflationary depression with inflation.
Which is what the communists and the bankers want, because then they can dictate total control on people. They don't want a big middle class that's uppity and can do what it wants and is not domesticated. This is all about domestication. In closing, you sent me some other graphs. retail investors are rushing back into gold. Let's talk about Deutsche Bank becomes Europe's first non-Chinese clearing bank, why that's important, and some of these other exhibits that you sent me. Deutsche Bank, again, the moves it's making. Why is this important? And then one more pitch for people to get into silver and gold right now. Like I said months ago, people, I'd only steer you where what I'm personally doing. I would use the silver and gold being down to get in now. Well, it's already going back up. People are, I believe, really missing an opportunity now. I don't know if they can suppress it again for a few months. I don't think so. Maybe they will. But long term, all the fundamentals are gold and silver, particularly silver.
Yeah. See, over the last 6 months, you know, to address one of those articles that you had, gold and silver have consolidated. They came down after the January high. They went sideways. And companies, hedge funds, banks, they started saying, wow, we're going to get out for a bit. We have to basically appease our shareholders at the quarterly meeting. What's starting to happen now? Massive retail demand again for gold and silver. Now, those same people who weren't buying it viewed this price as a bargain basement price. And gold intake into ETFs is growing rapidly. So when you've got the retail sector that's now starting to do what central banks have been doing this whole entire time.
And that's what you explained 2 years ago. You said the institutions are going in now. But when the general public and retail goes in, that's when the real rush starts. You believe that's starting to happen?
I believe that's starting to happen because the inflows of ETFs, you know, GLD and SLV, that's where Wall Street sells gold and silver. Now, it's not physical gold and silver. They're supposedly backing it, right? But it's a paper version of it. People are looking at the news and they're saying, we've got to get into gold and silver. This makes sense now at these prices. And this is part of the reason why gold is up 13% since the middle of July, why silver is up almost 19% since the middle of July. We've seen the end of that consolidation and it's starting to break out, right? And I think the acceleration of that breakout is going to happen because the demand for the dollar is going away. You referenced the Deutsche Bank China deal. Well, that's Germany, you know, going into bed with China and saying, we're not going to settle in U.S. dollars anymore. We'll take renminbi. We'll take the Chinese internal currency instead. Right? I mean, this is a big deal when you've got lower demand for the U.S. dollar and you've got now commodities getting back into the hearts and minds of the retail sector, people like you and me, not just hedge funds, not just central banks, not just big international money center banks like JP Morgan, Bank of America, HSBC, and whatnot. All of these things are lining up at the same time to tell me we're getting out of this consolidation. There's a breakout that's about to happen. Sadly, there's a chart that I was looking at with the U.S. Treasury yields where you break out of this descending triangle, and that's where we are. We've broken through that. Whenever you do that technically, and we're measuring yields here, the yields shoot up through the roof. Of course, Bessent had to bail out Japan because of that. He sees these numbers. He knows what happens technically and when algorithmic trading starts to kick in. This is a problem, right? Because we're going to have higher yields and lower bond prices. And you've got now gold and silver breaking out. The paradigm shift has happened and we get to play it out. And so those of you who have had patience over the last, since January 30th, saying, I know that this makes sense. I know that this makes sense. But boy, gold and silver are just going sideways and not doing anything. And you start to grumble and complain a little bit. You know, it's human nature. But here's
well, you had people calling up hoping you die of cancer. And, you know, we always said, we're not perfect. We're not God. We believe this is the best deal. You got the highest ratings. And I'm all obsessed about being right. And I have, you know, mojo, karma, whatever you want to call it. I'm not suspicious about a broken mirror or walking under a ladder or a black cat crossing my path. But suspicion about telling somebody something I don't absolutely believe, I don't even think about that. Even when I artificially have to think about lying, just a war game, and I go, ooh, because, I mean, I just love being the guy that's right. And the fundamentals are clear. We're being proven right. KBM.com/gold or call 720-605-3900 for your free consultation. Get into it now, folks. They're too low pressure. Get your silver and gold now. Dr. Elliott, thank you so much.
You bet. It's my pleasure. We'll talk later.
All right. Richard Barris is coming up. And I had this clip that I'd seen, and I couldn't tell who it was because it was, I didn't really recognize his face, but of course I know who Richard Barris is. And so then I said when I played the clip on the show about him saying, you know, the neocons running Trump is destroying him, and them trying to target original OG MAGA is self-destructive. Trump needs to stop this. I don't even care about being targeted by Trump. I want him to stop the policies that made us speak out against him. Then I said, I don't know who this guy is, but he's really smart. Then everybody was like, you don't know who Richard Barris is? No, I do know who he is for years, for a decade. He's a big pollster, really smart, best-selling author, bunch of other stuff. So, you know, I don't have a teleprompter here, folks. So I got a clip, can't figure out who it is. It makes sense. I play it, you know. So that's where we are. He's coming up to get into all the latest trends, the numbers on Trump, the midterms, and so much more. Then we've got AI phobia is America's new consensus, Financial Times. That's a good thing. You should have phobia because of how it's being deployed against you. That's coming up. We've also got teachers warn students are losing their ability to think as they learn on AI for everything. Yeah, it's bad. Inside Big Tech's frantic race to quell the growing backlash to AI. We'll be getting into that with him as well. And I got a bunch of news on the rise of the drones, the most shocking drone developments with Walmart and everybody else. When you see this new footage, it is insane. Massive increases in youth rioting in these street takeovers. We have got a lot to cover in the next 2 hours of transmission that we've got left. But listen to me. We've only got a week left in the end of summer super sale where ultramethylene blue and so many of our other best-selling products are 50% off. These will change your life. These are the very best supplements out there. All you got to do is try them. And you can't lose because the broadcast is doing good. We're exposing tyranny. So get it and see if it works because you're going to be hooked, folks. You're absolutely going to be blown away by our ultramethylene blue. It is massively discounted right now with methylene red that is proprietary. We developed that supercharges it or works great by itself. Atomic defense, immune boosting is also great for your whole body. The super green gummies are one of the strongest concentrated greens with all the vitamins, nutrients, and more. And so much more. Creatine powder, the highest quality of a type of creatine powder. 40% off. Shilajit gummies, turmeric, all 40% off. Ultimate chill, MK Ultra Mind Boost, all 40% off. Bunch of new great apparel in, all apparel 20% off, including the ball caps and the rest of it. There's not much markup in the apparel, so 20% off is a big discount. We need your support. This is a fundraising operation. So the end of summer super sale is only running until next Wednesday. In fact, it was supposed to just run Friday through like Sunday, but I didn't pay attention to the sales and didn't plug it the last 2 days. So we're going to extend a little bit in the next week. So take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's such an adventure to wear these t-shirts. Some of the very best designs. We got fun stuff, comedy stuff, cheesy stuff, really awesome, strong stuff. Crusader, Christian, you know, Patriot. It's all there. Another sign of Trump. We had Trump gear, but we're just discontinuing it. And literally nobody will buy it. And Trump and all the major retailers are just closing, which shows. I don't need a poll to see how Trump in this war and the Epstein cover-up totally screwed him. We'll talk about that with a respected pollster and more, Richard Barris, on the other side. Hour number three, straight ahead. Share those live feeds now.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited power!
I'm not going to be like that.
Well, I might go normally. So.
Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Respected pollster and best-selling author, there he is on screen. I surprised him. Richard Barris joining us coming up in the next section and segment when a bunch of radio stations join us. But before we do that, I just want to briefly talk about this, and I'll get to it more in the fourth hour. It's really captured people's attention, and you know it's important to discuss what this really means. The system, the establishment, the corporate media, the corporations, the governments have lost the faith of the people. That's well known. It's getting worse. When they have the Davos Group meetings about how to get trust back, and they just have new lies for old. But this whole Charlie Kirk assassination thing and the debate with Candace Owens and the fellow that you know she talked to, just continues to be a black hole that so many people focus their time on, arguing every little factoid. And I'm not saying it's bad to do that. I'm just simply saying that it's emblematic of how you got the public starting to wake up to corruption, but still we're trained to soap operas and TV shows and miniseries, and this is the type of thing where people can really only have their attention on a couple things. And I wish we could get the attention on ending the war, and trying to end inflation or stop inflation and the disaster of the midterms and what all the real polls are showing. Got a very respected pollster, Richard Barris, joining us next segment. But look here. Prosecutors hammered Tyler Robinson's bid to derail death penalty in Charlie Kirk murder case, and they put out this official letter saying that he's not contesting. They've told the judge that he killed Charlie Kirk. Now, will that quell people saying that they don't believe the official story? I've seen lots of fake confessions, Sirhan, you name it. The official story doesn't add up, and Cash Patel ordered a blocking of any foreign involvement being involved and any domestic help when 10 different pro-trans people in the town the 3 days before said he'll be dead when he comes to town. And within minutes of being killed, they celebrated it. And then I talked to the high-level TV USA, and they said, well, we talked to the FBI director. He said, well, we think they were involved, but we can't convict them, so we're just going to leave it alone. You go bring them in as witnesses. You can prove it was the trans cult. I'm not saying it wasn't. There is a cover-up. So people say, well, are you on Candace's side, or are you on TPUSA's side, you Andrew Wilson? I'm not on any of their sides. You want to talk about this? I go study this. I'm going to tell you what I think from my research. And you don't slap a telescopic scope on a 30-06 and hit the paper, okay? And the guy doesn't have that in the video. He clearly unfolds a smaller rifle. And he's not limping and all the rest of it. So here's a fun little piece. I saw this viral video of a Lego about how, you know, the guy she debated had trouble or couldn't open a pickle jar. And I remembered we already had an original pickle gate that was national news with Hillary Clinton, everybody else on all the news channels like 10 years ago. So I wanted to revisit right now the original pickle gate, Back to the Future 2.0. Here it is.
Open the pickle jar.
Open that jar.
Tyler did it. Okay, show me why.
Questions start flying, Andrew starts to fry. Was he a patsy? Who knows? Ask away. Who had motive? What does the evidence say? Internet screaming, Israel, baby, Mossad! Candace says, prove the story, don't just nod. And Andrew says, conspiracy. Candace says, facts. Then another cigarette gets pulled from the pack. Talk real tough, smoke real hard. Still can't conquer the pickle jar. Twist left, twist right. Somebody get this beta a butter knife.
Open the pickle jar.
Open that jar. Open that jar.
You can't do it.
Somebody help that man with the pickle jar. Crowd goes.
The juice of these pickles is on you, Alex Jones.
Here we go.
Next time, buy a jar opener.
The New World Order sends its regards.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. The top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That's not a promotion. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started. Or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters.
Detonating, and you're sitting in your house or office, and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later you see a flash of red coming at you. That's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout, and then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids. And people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning, and all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles, and it'll be doctors and medics and engineers, and they'll all been gone totally crazy. You have a bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way, and all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready, and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming soon we're going to contend with as we rebuild civilization. It's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the guns. We spare your lives. I know how much pain you feel, but wait. Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
All right, I send the crew literally hundreds of articles, documents, videos every day, but they also bring me videos, and then I'll just watch them during the break. And just looking at the guy, I didn't recognize him. So I said, well, I don't know who this guy is, but he's really accurate and well-spoken. People said, you don't know who Richard Barris is? I'm like, yeah, I've followed him for at least a decade. And he may have even been on the show before. I don't remember, but I feel like I know him. But he's with us, and he's seen as one of the top pollsters, you know, year after year. You can just pull that up for yourself. He's a best-selling author as well, the new book, Burn It Down. And he's got a bunch of polls here for you about the Iran war, about Trump's approval, about what's happening. He's a really smart, eloquent guy. Richard Barris, the People's Pundit, is the director of Big Data Poll, an author of the new book, Burn It Down, What the Polls Say Young Americans Really Want, People_Pundit on X. I'm not going to read over his whole bio, but Richard D. Barris, known as the People's Pundit, director of Big Data Poll, the host of Inside the Numbers with the People's Pundit. He's the independent pollster widely recognized for advocacy and accuracy and transparency in the Trump era. He was the only national and state pollster to correctly predict Donald Trump's 2016 with the 306 electoral votes, and he nailed it and was again cited as one of the most accurate national pollsters in 2024 with state polling projection of Trump victory with 312 electoral votes. His work emphasizes innovative methodologies, large sample sizes, demographic trend tracking, and radical transparency. Barris is also co-author of the book Burn It Down, What the Polls Say Young Americans Really Want, and we're honored to have him here today. But here's the clip I was just shown during a break. I said, yeah, that guy's accurate. I don't know who that is. Play it. It didn't say on the screen. And people are like, you idiot. That's Richard Barris. Yeah, I know who he is. So some mea culpa there. But let's play the clip that got me to want to get him on. I'm glad he could come on so soon. Hopefully one of many visits. I'm a big fan. Here it is.
So don't worry, Tucker, you can come back. Don't worry, Joe, you can come back. Don't worry, Marjorie, you can come back. Don't worry, Thomas, you can come back. Don't worry, Alex, you can come back. Don't worry, Marjorie, you can come back. What do all these people have in common? They're either OG MAGA or they represent what was truly new MAGA in 24, and they brought along the numbers that got us a winning coalition. You know, all of these other people out there, they dismiss these criticisms and these people fracturing off. You act like you had a 10-point popular vote win or something. You don't. And let me just give everybody a little bit of a stat, and then I'll kick it back to you, because this is real, and these people can destroy the Republican Party if they choose to do so. So instead of, you know, mocking them and making fun of them, you should be trying to figure out how to court them back, because you chase them away for a tiny parasitic sliver of the coalition. Neocons are nothing. They're literally dying right in front of our faces, people. Lindsey Graham just corked off out of nowhere. Mitch McConnell is still alive, but he's not, okay? They're literally dying in front of our face, and you're sacrificing the future coalition, the future of America, our future ability to win elections for these dinosaurs who are going extinct. And the truth is, the comet has been heading to Earth for years. They just never saw it coming because they're too stupid and too old to see it. So,
absolutely, and I totally agree with everything you said there. A little bit different angle to that, looking at the same problem. It doesn't mean he's wrong. It just means a different angle. I don't want to be part of MAGA with the insider trading and all the corruption. Yeah, it was destructive to let the neocons come in, the never-Trumpers, and have Trump then try to push us out and turn constituents against us. All it did was turn most people off against Trump, because I talk to people on the ground, and I see stuff like, we sell Trump T-shirts. We used to be one of our best sellers. About a year ago, it started to slow down. Now we sell basically no Trump gear at the AlexJonesStore.com. And all these big Trump businesses and Trump paraphernalia stuff are out of business, okay? So I don't need a pollster, though those are important. It's on-the-ground intelligence that tells me. But Trump is so pig-headed, I don't see him in a mea culpa. Not that we want to be back under his wings. I mean, I refused an offer a year ago to go to Mar-a-Lago. I already had problems. I wasn't mean about it. I just, you know, I want to affect Trump. I don't want to be in his orbit. But is it a day late, a dollar short? To go over all these incredible trends is the People's Pundit, Richard Barris. Barris, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Alex. It's good to be here.
Well, you're a smart guy. I could ask a million questions, but I got a lot of questions and angles. But where should we start here?
You know, what you were saying before, I don't want to be in MAGA. I think that's the story, which is what even is MAGA anymore, because I think it's just disingenuous and dishonest to argue that people elected Donald Trump because they expected the agenda that they got here. You know, after about, 3 to 5 months, he was really hardcore focused on the domestic in the beginning. And you can see it in our numbers. I mean, the data is crystal clear. So the apologists or whatever you want to call them at this point, their argument isn't supported by any data points whatsoever. This thing went awry after about 5 months when the lobby came into town and redirected the president away from his focus on domestic policy. And when that happened, the wheels came off. I mean, right after Operation Midnight Hammer, they lost their generic ballot lead. The president had a chance to even, you know, tighten back up his approval and even go back positive if he would have focused on the domestic. That didn't happen. So what I'm doing, I mean, beyond the top line numbers, Alex, I'm looking inside those numbers to see, well, what is happening here? And this is the simple bit of it.
And this is why, you know, sometimes I give it with the bark on, but because it's frustrating. We speak to thousands and thousands of people, and the job has been more depressing this last year and a half than it's ever been. These are younger people particularly who, and by younger, I mean not boomers, right? I mean, there's some Gen X folks that
below
are on the
50,
lower end of that.
50 and down.
Below 50. Let's go. Yeah, exactly. Like, people need to understand one thing first before we talk about the trends and what happened. Donald Trump was not elected with a coalition of boomers. Donald Trump actually did 1 point worse in 2024 with the 65 plus crowd than he did when he lost in 2020. He was elected by people who are below 50 years old, swinging massively to Republicans, particularly millennial men and lower Gen X men. And of course, Generation Z played a huge part in that. He gave Republicans a tremendous opportunity to put together a coalition that represents the future. And the problem with what has happened with the war and the agenda shifting away from the domestic is that's not what they wanted. So all of the winning parts of his coalition have been stripped away. And as this has been happening, their response has not been the right response. It's go out and attack Alex Jones. It's go out and attack Tucker Carlson and the guy's show that I was on that you played. Frank from Quite Frankly, he's exactly that demographic. His audience is that demographic. And their response has been to belittle people or browbeat them or attempt to, you know, browbeat them into submission. Well, you're acting like you won with a 10-point popular vote victory. You didn't. And by the way, our national poll in 24 was the most accurate. We've edged out the Wall Street Journal by 0.1%. So we know exactly who voted for Donald Trump. And all of the winning parts, the younger, the non-white, the overlap into non-college voters that you cannot reach with white voters alone, all of that has been stripped away. And that's tragic. It's like been watching a Greek tragedy over here, Alex, and screaming at the top of my lungs, trying to get people to listen. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to try to get into somebody's head, but it's not as if he doesn't understand this. And I think some of the reaction from the White House has just been frustration. And
well,
that's why they lash out.
That was my next question. Do you have any idea? Because if I was John Podesta, you know, really the brain of the DNC still, and I could possess Trump and make him say things I wanted, I would say, Mr. President, do you care about the average American's economic problems? No, I don't care about any problems or anything the American people have economically. I only care about war. I don't care about Medicare, Medicaid. I don't care about, you know, child care. His surrogates. Oh, you don't like $20 burritos? You're a pussy. Oil prices are a little big. You can handle it. You can deal with it. Oh, inflation's been fixed. It's not a problem. And it just goes on and on and on with, if I was a Democrat wanting to possess him to self-destruct, he would be doing what he's doing. And then any idiot would tell you, do not go after your main constituents. Even if you're not going to do what they want, don't say, if you care about Epstein, you're an idiot and you're not MAGA. And all, I mean, just, and we saw the slide, like you said, about 4 to 5 months in, it was phenomenal what he was doing. It was so good, I couldn't believe it. And then it just started going sideways and getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And now I've known from sources it's dawned on them, but I think it's a day late, a dollar short. I don't know what Trump does once the Democrats win the House bare minimum and they come after him and insider trading and insider deals that would make Nancy Pelosi blush. I mean, I said it back when he called me a bad person and fried and low IQ. I said, thank you. Please make it clear, because I'm not embarrassed. I supported him in the past. That was a different Trump. The left said, oh, Jones admits he was always wrong. No, that was a different Trump. But I am so pleased. I said, please say you hate me. Separate me from you, because I can look down the road here. Even if he pardons the whole administration like he said he would do, this is going to be it will no longer be Ulysses S. Grant that was known as the greatest insider fraudster robbing the Treasury. Trump is going to go down now. I don't see any way you slice it as an absolute pariah. And like you said, it's a Greek tragedy to have everything going for you and then on a dime destroy yourself.
After what is, I mean, arguably, I think it is the greatest comeback, not only in American political history, but I think period in history because of what he was up against. You know, in the ancient era, you could look at some of these leaders who came back after, you know, being ostracized or banished or in exile. But back then you could just, Alex, raise an army and come back and that's it. Donald Trump had to do this through the institutions and defeat the institutions. And what he did he didn't do alone. He did it with a large coalition, the most impressive that we've seen since Reagan put together his coalition for Republican. He got more Hispanic votes than any Republican president ever. He beat George Bush as far as the percentage of the Hispanic vote share that he got, which George Bush's was always overstated. But I think somewhere along the line, a bunch of people forgot that this is a group effort. This is not a one-man thing. And you can't just dismiss the concerns of all of these people. And it's important to understand that 24 was an A-B test. They looked back at some of the things that happened in the first Trump administration that back then we used to call them the seasick voters. They just didn't like all the turmoil. He was elected to go in there like a wrecking ball and start wrecking stuff. But once a lot of Americans saw it happening and they saw the system's response to Trump, they didn't like it. You know, the collusion hoax, it's too much.
And then but he COVID, finally course, had later. A climate where people did want the wrecking ball, and instead
right.
he jumped into exactly. the swamp and made love to it.
And that's where I was going with this. The American voter, including all of these younger people that don't vote Republican, they had concluded we got duped. We got duped by the Democrats. We got duped by the deep state. We got duped by the media, and we want our Trump back. But they wanted their Trump back. They didn't want a new version of Donald Trump. And the environment was ripe for him to come in and do in 2024 what he started in 2016, which you know and I both know he earnestly tried to do. And that's why the system pushed back so hard against him. Folks, if somebody goes to D.C. and the system isn't pushing back anymore, it should be a massive red flag to you. It means they're not worried. They're not concerned. And after about five months or so, the noise started quieting down. And what? I mean, it's a bipartisan consensus in Washington, D.C. to start some of these regime change wars, which, by the way, they got under Biden. There was the Russo-Ukrainian war that started. The Middle East lit a fire again. And voters were looking back and comparing this to, you know what? Maybe it wasn't so bad when Donald Trump met with Vladimir Putin. Maybe we should shelve the Russia phobia for a second and put an adult in the room, a deal maker like Donald Trump. Maybe that wasn't that bad. The Abraham Accords, that wasn't that bad. Donald Trump had the Middle East settled down. He had the international system stable. And Joe Biden comes around. He was supposed to be the adult in the room, and he blows it all up. Everything's on fire. Afghan withdrawal is a disaster. There's a war in Eastern Europe. There's fires burning all over, raging across the Middle East. We want Donald Trump back, and we want him back because he'll put all that out and he'll focus on our needs at home. And the dismissing of the concerns by some people, and it's not just the administration here. There's clearly an effort by the neocon faction to dismiss the concerns of these younger voters who made them winners. So when I say they're parasites, this is what I mean. Neocons could never go in front of the American people and say, this is what we stand for, vote for us, and win an election, Alex. It's impossible. They're done. That era is over. The post 9/11 mindset of being scared because it's a crisis and we're under attack and we'll believe
ooh,
anything.
Ooh, and the nightly terror alert level over. Threat level.
Exactly. That is over, Alex. Exactly. They don't believe it. Millennials, they're not myth believers. They're much more based in the real world with their thinking and their political thinking, because they have real issues to deal with.
So let me ask you this, because I could hear you talk for 10 hours. You're dead on.
Yeah.
But it's important postmortem. What do you think the shift was? Because he perfectly came out and said things that would hurt him, would hurt his base. Did it come out of his brain? Who advised him? He said it was Mark Levin. And others, why attack your base? Why say the whole Epstein thing's a hoax? Why say, I don't care about your economic problems? I don't even think about you. Why do all this when he's not stupid? And I know people told him, you're going to destroy yourself. Why did he do it? It sounds like he made a deal. Sounds like he was compromised and he was told you go out and you do these things to totally separate yourself from these people. You have to destroy your own base, because the Democrats always said, once we get rid of Trump, we got to demolish his base. So I think they made a deal and said, you have to demolish your base now with this civil war. I'm being cynical here, but if Trump does have this 3D chess, then clearly he had to do it on purpose, or he's not as smart as we were told.
I mean, I know a lot of people who do have that, you know, who do have that suspicion. I hate to try to get in somebody's head, but I do look at this. I mean, Alex, the man's been shot at multiple times. He was a president. They took that from him, and he effectively, you know, there's a pandemic unleashed on the world. They used it as an excuse to change our moratorium, put moratoriums on verification procedures for the elections. He finds himself under 91 indictments. They got chains on Trump Tower. You start, if you're a man like Donald Trump, you've got to start to worry about what happens to your family, like in the future when you're gone. I know I would. And I say this and people get mad at me. They're like, you're making excuses for him. I'm not. He's been through a lot.
No, you're trying to track actually what happens. And it looks like he finally made a deal. Because notice, as soon as he made that deal, which clearly he did, suddenly the police were protecting his properties. Suddenly the heat got pulled back about 90%. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's not dumb. We can rule that out. Rush Limbaugh had issued a really stark warning to him before he passed away, and he gave a version of that live on air on his last broadcast. And it basically goes a little something like this. Look, you can survive the FBI coming after you. You can survive the media coming after you. No third party or outside external force can come in and break the bond that you have with your voters. This is something that's personal, and it cannot be broken. Because they see you as their champion. The only way you can break it is if you do it yourself. And by doing something like, if you don't shut up about Epstein, I don't want your support anymore. Look, that angered a bunch of people, and anger is always the word people go to. But as a pollster, listening to people, and I always review, first of all, I still interview myself. I go through transcripts of other agents that do interviews for us. I'm constantly listening in and eavesdropping on what people are saying. And we also have a part in our interviews where we give people some time to lay out why they answered the way they did on the questionnaire. And the word isn't anger. It was disappointment. They were hurt by this.
I would call it betrayal. I feel betrayed.
I feel like, and then, well, like, let's imagine it's a fight and that's a left jab and you tee the guy up and you pop him in the chin with the left jab and his chin's just there, ready to be, you know, ready, exposed. And then you come in with the overhand right. That's the Iran bombing Operation Midnight Hammer. And it's just the 1-2 punch that put MAGA down. And betrayals cut deeper. There's something about betrayals as a wound that just takes longer to heal. It hurts. It stings more. It cuts deeper. It's personal, right? Right. And a lot of these voters, I tried to impress this on them. These voters felt like you were their last chance. Many of them aren't even participatory voters. They barely vote if they have ever voted before. They believed in you and they came out to give you a chance because they thought this is our only hope to reverse course and get this country back on track. There's a lack of appreciation for that mindset for these voters. Why did all of these millennials or 80s babies, all of these my generation, you were a Hulkamaniac maybe when you were a kid. Why did you all of a sudden snap out of it and decide you were going to vote for the first time? Trump didn't do better even with suburban women because he changed more people's minds. He didn't. He brought out suburban women who don't vote. That was the real fuel behind him doing better with white women in the suburbs. And we can just keep going down the list. Young black men, Hispanics, Hispanic women, too, not just men. This is what happened. And they did it almost out of desperation, but because they saw the attacks on Trump, they're trying to throw him in jail. They're going to lock him up and throw away the key. And they said, he's our guy. He understands. He gets it. And he's a rebel.
He's an underdog. He's a Spartacus. And instead he became the establishment. And so you've sent me the numbers. We'll go to break in a few minutes and come back with them. But I don't, people go, oh, a poll. You've been one of the most accurate pollsters ever. But I talk to the people on the ground. I see the other polls. I mean, it's bad. This is really horrific what we're facing.
It is, Alex. And, you know, people out there, you stop blackpilling, stop dooming. If you were on the Titanic and you hit the iceberg because you didn't listen to the guy who said, watch out for the iceberg, would you sit on the deck of the Titanic as it goes down? Or would you try to man the lifeboats and get people in the lifeboats and salvage this thing? I don't understand this blackpilling thing. I'm not an ostrich. I don't stick my head in the sand.
No, I agree. And I
give them advice. Hopefully they listen.
I've tried to come up with a proper term. I'm going to steal your term now because I don't know why I didn't think of that. I call them the crazy white pillars, the cult, you know, the people on the payroll, you know, whatever. But you're right. They're the apologists. They're really the dreamers. They're the people that can't deal with the bad news. As we said, don't go in the iceberg field. We did. We hit it. Now we got to get off the boat and say, what is post-Trump? What do we build so it's not the Democrat socialists running against Trump? We've got to oppose what Trump became and what they are. We've got to build that coalition now. And they're calling us traitors for even talking about it. They say, no, MAGA, I was in a Republican debate 2 weeks ago. And the other side's like, Trump never goes away. He's our leader till he dies. No, it's him. And I'm like, even if he had 60% approval rate like he did, you know, a year and a half ago, that doesn't matter because he's 80 years old. We have to have a future. But instead, he has a 30% approval rating. The guy is done. He's destroyed. He's old garbage. Throw him out. And those of you clinging to it are idiots. We'll be right back with Richard Barris, People's underscore pundit on X. This guy is smart, and I don't know why I haven't had him on the show until now, as I've been following him for years, but he is here with us right now. He sent us a bunch of these polls. We're going to get to straight ahead. You want some Mars News today? You're about to get it.
The info war is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the information war. Articles, video reports, live streams, and breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's to share the links. Fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that. But the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. You're your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but didn't wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the global's going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This... getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission, you got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key C minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. Talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals, it is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff. It doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen. Right here on the Alex Jones Show.
I went down to the man. Well, this guy's in the top couple of pollsters in the world, Richard Barris, People's underscore pundit on X. And we're talking about where we are as a country, where we are as a world. You look at the economy, the inflation, the Iran war, we got all the polls here. It's a disaster. And then you've got the Democrat Socialists of America on one side. Trump is now not running on how he's going to fulfill his promises. Now it's all, I'm better than Democrat Socialists of America. And in a way, that's a true statement, but still ineffectual compared to what he could be doing. But obviously, he's got pressure from the neocons and others not to do it. So Richard, looking at this, and you know, your warning on that other show that I played a clip of when you first came on, is there any off-ramps for Trump? What would you do if you were him? And then let's go through these amazing polls that you sent us on his approval rating, on demographics, Republican versus Democrat, the Iran war. And there's a lot here, so you tell us which ones you want to go to first.
Yeah, if I was Trump, it's probably a different answer than what I tell Trump to do, right? Because some things might be viable and some might not be. I try never to count out Donald Trump because it's just the miraculous comebacks he's made before. But I mean, we're at a point now where it is bad, which we can see if you know, looking at the graphics and what we put them up. But what he needs to do immediately, Alex, is end the Iran war. I mean, 70% of the country doesn't even care the terms of the deal. If he gets a better deal than the JCPOA, we're beyond that. And the reason why is simple. You will never convince people that the needs of a foreign nation, or even if you're trying to argue they're your needs, but they're overseas, you're never going to get them to believe that those needs are more important than their own basic needs at home. This is like simple Abraham Maslow hierarchy of needs stuff. If they can't pay their rent, if they can't buy food, if they can't pay their car payments, if they can't get back to school clothes for their kids, they're not going to care what's happening in Iran or Israel. He's got to end that war. The one bump that we've had for him in the last 6 months came the month that he announced the MOU. He got an 8-point bump and the generic ballot actually tightened. They fell apart. And the next month he fell to a new low. His disapproval was at a new high. And unfortunately, the generic ballot exploded again to Democrat plus 11. I mean, that's an ugly, ugly result, guys. That's a very sad Wednesday morning. So I would tell Trump, I think what he needs to do, he knows what he needs to do because he shared that poll and the White House shared that poll. He needs to get out of this conflict. He needs to start trying to resolve the conflict in Eastern Europe. But it's about optics and how much of his time the American public perceives to be being put towards meeting their needs. They don't even expect you to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish. They just want you to be their champion and try. You know, acknowledge that affordability is a problem.
Exactly.
Acknowledge that gas has got to go back down. You know, it's like a reminder every 3 days when you fill up your gas tank that Trump started a war that you didn't support. 70% did not support this war. 20% supported it before the conflict.
And let's talk about this new poll you've got right here. I mean, newer from June. Incredible. This is a big deal.
This is what the White House shared, too. And the most interesting thing on that graphic, folks, is look at the difference between 2024 Harris voters and 2024 Trump voters. While some voters want to support Trump, and if you ask them if they support the war, some of them will basically lie and say they do, even though that's even collapsed. But overall, when you ask them whether they want peace, they want it more than Democrats do. And why? Here's the kicker. So a lot of those Harris voters that we interviewed straight up said that they oppose the deal because they hope Trump continues the war because they know it's stupid and unpopular and it'll lead to a landslide in November.
So which, by the way, shows how they're one-dimensional. It could turn into a nuclear war. It's killing the economy. That is so idiotic.
It is.
We want Trump to make mistakes because that'll hurt him. Yeah, it'll hurt you too, dummy.
Yeah, we call them the hive mind. They're very one track. That's all they think about. They're in lockstep together. And that's getting worse as time goes on. But ultimately, the failures of this is what people unfortunately don't want to confront. The failures of this administration to meet these needs is leading to the rise of the DSA.
Oh, it's supercharging. It's supercharging them.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what, by the way, that's what Burn It Down is all about. And even if
I haven't read your book yet. I'm going to read it. Tell us about the book, Burn It Down. This is important. It's got great reviews.
The thesis of the book is that we have two paths we can follow in this country. It's either MAGA in its OG original form and all its glory in the 2024 coalition. Real MAGA, not the new fake Mark Levin version, or it's Mamdani. And that's what we have a lot of polls that we didn't release publicly that are in this book that we analyze and other polling that obviously backs up the trends that we found. A lot of uncomfortable questions we ask in this book. And it all leads to the same place. So every time this administration makes a decision, they have to consider how this is going to affect the future of the country in a way that other presidents haven't had to deal with, because we're in the middle right now. We went through this like Trump realignment, but we're in the middle now of a generational realignment, a generational shift. The only people who support a lot of the policies that they started to pursue when things went awry are older Fox BoomerCon Republicans. And Alex, the silent gen is almost gone. Boomers vote at high rates, but time, it comes for everybody.
They got a maximum of 10 years, and it's a tail on that.
Max.
Down to nothing. Yeah. And here's the thing. You alluded to this, but I know in the polls you're more of an expert than I am by light years. They weren't even big Trump supporters, but what they are is bandwagon riders. I'm not saying all boomers. My parents aren't like that. But they go with what they think the establishment is. And now that they don't see big attacks on Trump and they see the stuff they feed him. In fact, I sent you guys a clip that they put out everywhere. He's a king, and his surrogates are saying Trump should be a king, and Trump is backing. For everybody else, that's repulsive. But for boomers, it's this weird comfort slop, word I'm inventing here, and it just has destruction written all over. So they weren't even real supporters before, but now why are they?
I mean, look, boomers like calm, and the truth is they're in a period of their life where, Charlie and I used to talk about this a lot. It's like that. This is why some of the older Republican voters in 2024 didn't even identify as MAGA. They identified as traditional Republican in our poll. Now they identify as MAGA. It's because they're at a period in their life. They don't want to burn it down. This system was designed to benefit them. It's designed to give them the golden years that they want. And they're not, it's a horrible thing to say, but it's the truth. They're not really thinking about what's going to happen to their kids or their grandkids. And I think the big part of that is, and it's not to insult anybody, it's just the reality. It's a social science reality. Boomers have been the center of the universe for four decades, and they've had control over foreign and domestic policy for as long. They're used to the focus being on them. They're used to worldviews centering around them. Well, guess what? The revenge of the millennial is coming. And if we're not seen, if the right is not seen as the champion of that cohort, then we're going to be annihilated. I mean, not beaten. Annihilated. In 2017, millennials became the largest share of the VEP, the voting eligible population. They don't vote at the rates boomers do, or even the silent, what remains of the silent gen. They punch way above their waist still. But when they do, when they decide to flex those political muscles, if we're not on the right side of this thing, we're going to be destroyed. In truth, Alex, 10 years max, you said it. That's actually very close to the number that we give in the book, but they could do it now. If they wanted to.
Let me be clear. Miraculous. Since we're talking turkey, Richard, I'm not a statistician like you. I'm saying max 10 years, but the power goes down every year massively. So within five years, they're already eclipsed. Within 6 years, they don't even matter what, 5-6 years. I mean, it's over.
We're going to see it in 28. We'll see a big shift. We'll already see a big impact of that in 28, which everybody thinks Vance is just going to sail into this thing without a problem. And part of the clip that you played is me saying you have to repair this fracture. You can't just go around and pretend this fracture didn't happen. It did happen. And by the way, look at that chart. This is his approval by key events, like what happened and then how did his approval trend after that. You can see we were actually on Real Clear Politics, the poll with the widest positive spread for Trump at his high. So this is not like we're some unfriendly poll to Trump. We're definitely one of the, we were accurate, but that also made us more friendly to him, compared to some of the left-wing
Richard, let me stop you because I don't know. I mean, I follow some of your stuff, but let me guess. When you put out real polls now, you're being called a traitor, a Qatari. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. The right in 16, Alex, when we called it right, the right loved me. In 18, when we said the House is going to go because you betrayed people on health care, they hated me. Then by 2020, it goes back and forth. And by 24, I was their saving grace again. You would think after all that time, you would earn the right to be heard when you start shooting a flare in the air.
Well, I was about to say, like I don't look at people about what I want to hear, who I respect and who I have on. is people that tell me the truth, because I respect that, because I don't want to be caught flat-footed. But there's this thing where people, especially the Democrats, but Republicans are acting more and more like them, at least the boomers. I'm not singling you all out, boomers. Boomers calling and go, I'm not like that. We know, but like 65%. You guys are the ones who got rid of Massey. My point is that they want delusion. They want lies.
Yeah, I mean, people, I think there's part of people out there where even some of them may understand and they acknowledge it, but they lash out at you, or they lash out at Tucker, or they lash out at me, because they don't want to lash out at the president. And I get that, because I saw this in the Obama era too. There were a lot of people who were truly upset with Obama, but instead they attacked people who criticized Obama. Now all of these years later, they lay the criticism where it belonged, which was with Obama. You know, I mean, they had
Well, that's a key point. A lot of the boomers that voted Trump in, they voted Obama in.
That's right. I mean, this is, again, it's a backslide. What the Republican coalition is doing right now is backsliding, right? You could not win without those Obama voters. You could not win without those low propensity new voters. Trump was winning the unlikely voter poll, which is a funny exercise that pollsters do every year. It tells you if these voters were to come out, who would they vote for? Because they have the power to change the electorate and make an election easily winnable as opposed to a close election. Trump was the first Republican president in my career to win the unlikely voter poll, which was exciting, you know? And back then, when we were putting out our polls, it showed he was doing better with younger people, black people, Hispanic people.
How's he doing now? Because I know that for the first time ever, the Republicans were the majority party. That's not the case now, is it? I mean, how far is the slide here with the coalition that got him in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, we sent over the partisan trends that we do. It's really ugly. Alex, I can give you a quick stat, which is at the end of that clip, which you played earlier. In November of 2024, 40% roughly said, I'm a Republican. They identified as a Republican. Of that, by the way, about half was MAGA America First. Now today, it's about 30%. So you've lost about 10% off your total number. It's a huge decline. And of those, only about 45% say that they're America First or MAGA. Look at that. I mean, and by the way, we did this first, and then you saw it with Gallup and Pew and others. They followed us a month or two after. We're just scheduled ahead of them, and we publish it every month. They do it quarterly. But we all see the same trend. So just to give people some quick napkin math, Republicans were a larger party than Democrats in 24 by identification. About half of that, or 20% of the country, was America First MAGA, and now they're 30% overall and only 13% combined America First MAGA. And we do actually even split that up, Alex, and we say, which one is it? Are you more America First or are you more MAGA? Well, America First cleans MAGA's clock every month now, 60-40, 55-45. So MAGA's really like 5.8% of the population. That's it. And America First is around 7-8. So you're looking at 12-13% on any given month.
And notice in all these polls, which are tracked everywhere, it's all happened recently since he said, don't look at Epstein. I don't care about affordability and I love war. I mean, this is a 100% clear signal, isn't it?
This is what I meant before when I said that the neocons don't have a single data point on their side. Guys, we track the generic ballot every single month. Republicans held on to their lead in our poll, even though other media polls, they did not. They held on to their generic ballot lead until Operation Midnight Hammer. The week after Operation Midnight Hammer, they lost their generic ballot lead, and they have never gotten it back.
And notice, that's when Trump turned over control and said, my brain is Mark Levin, and Fox News turned against his base. People instantly saw the betrayal. It was quick. It was like a light switch.
Yeah, I think he just got completely consumed by it, too. And I got to tell you, the voters gave him a lot of grace. They expected Trump to pivot again. Remember the State of the Union? They thought that was a signal that he was going to bounce back and he was going to pivot to the domestic. And he started to talk about health care and certain affordability issues. But it just kept getting stepped on by Israel, the Israel lobby and Iran and this and that and this overseas. And every time we hear about the Russo-Ukrainian war and it doesn't end, it just reminds people that he said he would end it in 48 hours, right? Not send more missiles and more military aid over to Zelensky. That's exactly what Biden was doing. That's what
does it look to you, Richard, like he's trying to get an exit ramp and then Israel bombs Lebanon every time, or is that just showing up?
Yeah, at this point, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, I'm interrupting you. Go ahead.
It does. I mean, the president wouldn't have shared that poll that we did if he didn't understand. He knows. And there's just to get that MOU.
So slow down. Start over. Well, I know which one you said, but
yeah.
Reintroduce. That's a big deal. He shared your poll.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of behind the scenes and public action. I think he really is trying to do a real off ramp. Some people are so cynical they don't believe it, but no, I think he legitimately saying Netanyahu's his own worst enemy and stop attacking Lebanon. I mean, I think that's legitimate. So repeat what happened with the poll that Trump reposted.
Yeah, so when they announced the MOU, we put that right into the questionnaire, and we went out in the field and we polled it because we knew that they, you know, the neocons were going to come out hot and heavy against this thing and try to bludgeon it and the vice president. It was immediately popular, exceedingly popular. So he knows that. He published it. He pushed it on Truth, but the White House also redid graphics and put it on X. The president knows the right way to go here. The problem is, and I don't want to breach anyone's confidence, but in Truth, the problem is, every time the negotiators got close to a deal, and then ultimately when they did get the MOU, the neocons were killing them. They were killed. The public response led, it fed the Iranians. So then they would go back to the Iranian negotiators and they would be sitting there with a smile on their face and chuckling and saying, look, you have a wing of your own party who doesn't want this deal. So, you know, they were hurting Vance and the negotiation team by doing what they were doing. They were,
well, they also blew up the negotiators. Just like they blew up Turkish negotiators in Syria yesterday, and Israel said they think that'll make them not join Pakistan, the nuclear umbrella. That's a no-brainer. I think that'll make them join it. Syria just did a deal 2 weeks ago with Russia. Russian troops have now moved back in. I mean, that's another thing. Israel, we're told, is so smart. I'm not saying Israel's dumb, but every move I predicted would go wrong, and it is.
Yeah, I think the president does know the way forward, the way he needs to go. I just think he's in a bad position, and he put himself in a bad position by stepping out on the ledge and doing, you know, the Operation Midnight Hammer was always going to lead to a kinetic war. And this is what I think some of us who oppose that understood from the beginning. You were never getting away with just three strikes and that's it.
They Israel said it was back. An attempted full war. And then I had the neocons say I was insane. Absolutely. So how do you, I know you like to cover what you can prove, but take your pollster hat off. You got to be a really smart guy to even be a big pollster and understand the future. From your futurist perspective and your finger on the pulse, how do you see this ending, or what are the different scenarios? Is there any off ramps?
There's really only one, and that is for Donald Trump to use his power, which he has, to stop Israel from really pretending like Lebanon is not part of the situation. Of course it's part of the situation. And he can do that very simply. They're concerned over Turkey and their new con fighter because they don't need us to give them F-35s anymore. It's a big, big part of why you see them going after Turkey recently, people. I mean, that's what this comes down to. In about a year, they'll get the delivery of their first ones. They're comparable to the F-35. Israel still needs us to give them components to the F-35 because they can't build it on their own, and we won't share that technology with them directly. Trump could easily tell them, you're not getting any more F-35s. That means you don't have air superiority in the region, and I will let Erdogan piss on your head whenever he feels like it. And that is really all Donald Trump has to do. Joe Ken has talked about this a lot. He really does have the power to rein him in. Netanyahu is in trouble. He's not even a shoe-in for this re-election this time. I mean, he's in real trouble. And I know he's been in spots before, but he's at a point where he feels the only way to generate enough turnout is for him to constantly antagonize and stand up to Trump. And I know Trump understands that, you know, but the fact is Trump is the president of the United States.
100%. But you're absolutely right. And I've talked to people at the White House. I mean, most of them are against this. They don't know why Trump continues. Even behind the scenes, he hates Netanyahu. And I not just have Tucker told me that personally. I've had other cabinet members tell me that. But he does care about Israel, which I don't hate Israel either, and is overall trying to help Israel. But as he said 3 days ago, Netanyahu is his own worst enemy, meaning Israel's worst enemy. He's going to go to jail as long as he doesn't continue this war. And then blowing up the coalition of ambassadors and envoys from Turkey with Israel saying our next enemy is Turkey. That's the biggest conventional military in Europe. That is insane. And I know the Pentagon's against it, but what other measures are there to get Netanyahu under control? Should Trump publicly rebuke him and endorse his opposition?
When you asked before, what would I do if I was Donald Trump? I would publicly humiliate him. I really would. I would pull a Reagan, but only in public. And honestly, I probably would go even further than that. You know, it's just always this like humiliation thing when leaders go over to Israel. And there's never any reverence whatsoever for our monuments or our histories and our traditions. I mean, I would, no more meetings for Netanyahu. I mean, the guy's had more meetings than any other foreign leader ever. I mean, there's
and Trump's already curtailed. He's already curtailed that. Yeah,
he has. Yeah. I mean, at some point, and he has started. There have been moments where he did it. It's just that unfortunately, it looks performative because he doesn't continue. He doesn't follow through. So the Axios report over the phone call where he said, you know, everybody hates you. I'm wasting capital on you. You need a lot more of that because there is unfortunately, and this is nothing to do with anti-Semitism or hatred for Israel. But unless he does that, I don't know how he begins to recover because there's such a large group of his coalition. And again, folks, it does matter. Younger voters absolutely matter. They elected him, not boomers. They believe Israel hijacked their last chance to save their own country. And there's this, it's not hatred. It's not anti, it's a resentment. They resent Netanyahu. They resent Israel. They're never going to join a coalition with these neocons again. It's not going to happen. I don't think millennials
But not just here. I predicted, it wasn't our prediction, that Pakistan would lead a coalition because they have nukes with a nuclear umbrella. It's now happened. And so, I mean, listen, you said we're not anti-Semitic. My God, obviously, I wish this wasn't even the focus. We got China to deal with. But at the end of the day, Israel's biggest worst enemy is Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir. Yes. and those crazies. And people need to be able to step back and realize that this is a literal dead end. And that's why they try to bully Trump's original supporters, because they know our voice is important to put the pressure on him to get off of this train to hell.
Yeah, I honestly think that Israel didn't make the right call here. And now some of the criticism dating back like a year or so ago, which they came at you hard for, you know, they called everybody names. That was coming from the same place that my criticism of the president was coming from. I don't want to see you in the spot I think you're going to end up in if you go down this path.
And now we're here.
All the criticisms of Trump. Yeah, I want you to succeed. I don't want you to end up like this. And now we're here.
But we have a lot of leverage now, though, that we've been vindicated.
I agree with that. I agree. I mean, I don't know how some of these other voices, Alex, even still go to social media or go on Fox News or go on their favorite programs every day and still talk. I mean, if I was them, I'd be humiliated and I'd be hiding under a rock because not only did I steer the president in the wrong direction, but you better hope, folks, that these millennials are wrong and that we do have more time to save this country. Because here's the bottom line. If you truly believed that Democrats were an existential threat, if you truly believed that the DSA rising was the end of the Republic as you knew it, then you couldn't make a logical argument that advocated for this war, advocated for this agenda, because you did it at the expense of the coalition. Your number one priority, if you truly believed all of that, would have been to keep the America First coalition together, keep it viable, keep it electable and dominant. It was dominant. It didn't have to be this way. They
so
didn't
we're
have
back.
To
did
lose.
Trump blow it up on purpose? And I go back to Napoleon Bonaparte. He said, never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. I don't want Israel to get blown up. I mean, I'm literally this is pro-Israel telling him don't do this.
And Israel too. I mean, I've been lucky enough. I've read internal government reports. They understand the problem they have with public opinion in the West, including in the United States. And yet none of the prescriptions, Alex, none of the prescriptions included anything with modifying their behavior or their tactics. Their prescription was to keep pushing forward and throw more money behind it and just keep going.
Well, look at Ben-Gvir with a daily 40 person kill a Palestinian quota. Why would he put even if he's a monster, why do you didn't see Joseph Mengele advertising his genocide? Like, listen, I know you got to go. You're amazing. Do 5 more minutes with us to put bookends on it. We're going to go to break for 2 minutes. Richard Barris, Peoples_Pundit, amazing. I don't know why the hell I haven't had you on the show more. Please come on a regular basis. Anytime you've got news, you text my producer. You're on the show. Followed you for years, but it's just been a name, and I've seen your face here and there. And then it's just amazing to have you. Wow. Richard Barris is impressive. People underscore pundit on X. Follow him there and get his book. We'll tell you about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited
gonna be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally.
So. Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I've been following his polls for years, one of the top pollsters, top two or three in the world, Richard Barris. And I hate to even interrupt him to just say how right he is or bring up other topics. I want to invite him next time I'm out of town or something's come up, or hell, I might even just take off to have him host 2 hours uninterrupted. This guy is amazing, hosts a lot of shows. Be sure and follow him on X at People's Underscore Pundit. But just in the next 4.5 minutes, sir, you've got the floor without me interrupting for any other key points you'd like to impart to the viewers. Thank you so much for being here.
And thanks for having me on, Alex, and I'd be honored to do that. That's amazing. Really would be. Look, you know, this comes down to something very simple. The president was elected to be a domestic wartime president. You know, there were structural problems with our economy that got worse during COVID that he was elected to address. Being a foreign policy president is a very easy trap to get into. But unfortunately, that's not how DC works. They can't walk and chew gum at the same time. Either the blob and the deep state and the foreign policy establishment gets their agenda or you get yours. Those of us who have been doing this long, as long as I have and longer, many people have been doing it even longer, know that. It's just the way it is. It's unfortunate reality of DC, and they have got to pivot back to the economy, because look at yesterday in Pennsylvania, we lost another state legislature. They're worried. I just came back, by the way, from Bucks County. I took a six state battleground state tour in the last 6 weeks. They are worried about getting wiped out. When you get wiped out like this, as bad as they're facing in Pennsylvania, it's incredibly difficult. It's not possible. It's incredibly difficult to rebuild from the ground up. You lose your donor base. You lose all of your get out the vote base from your local electives that are in office. The hour is late. And I'm telling you, this election, I wish I would have wrote the book sooner, Alex. I really do. But, you know, sometimes you're limited by your own schedule. But this entire narrative,
burn
and making
it all down,
sure that we cater to this. Yes, we have to burn it down and make sure we cater to this new majority that is coming. You may not care about them in a midterm, but you better, because from the future, you know, moving on, it's 10 years max is about right, what you said. It's only going to get worse from this point forward. Let's have a complete reversal here. Let's try to salvage what we can and move forward and rebuild, because this is not the way forward. We're going to get wiped out.
We're in the fourth turning. We don't need to believe the theory. We're in it. We have to be revolutionary. That's what America is. That's who we are. The left and communism is the old system. We're the revolutionaries. We have to advertise that. And we have to get out front, and people have to realize this is existential.
And it is. And that was the argument I tried to make before we started this war. This is not the existential threat. The enemy is not abroad. We don't have to pretend we have to go chasing around enemies in the sand thousands of miles away. The enemy is here. Iran didn't kill Charlie Kirk. Iran didn't try to kill Donald Trump. Now, we know those of us with a brain didn't need to wait for a news report leaking intelligence to know that that was a complete garbage story. But they're here. They're here, folks. Has 2 years, not even, been so long that we forgot what it was like to be under Democratic control, with those of us who are behind a microphone or running for office or what? It could end up in prison.
And then the neocons claim we're going to get the Democrats elected when it's their actions, the polls show, that are doing it. You know we're going to get blamed, Richard. You know we're going to get blamed when they.
Easiest prediction I ever made, Alex, was months ago longer now, after Operation Midnight Hammer. I said, you watch, they're going to need somebody to deflect blame onto, and it's going to become the podcasters and the pollsters who simultaneously have no influence. Like, according to Mark Levin, I'm an unknown pollster, yet it'll be my fault if we lose. You can't have it both ways, Mark. Tucker can't be irrelevant. Alex can't be irrelevant, but somehow they're the ones who are to blame. This is very simple. All of the data points to the same direction. The parasitic part of this coalition, which can't win an election, save their life on their own, hijacked this administration, steered it off the cliff, and now they're going to do what they always do. Blame somebody else and move on to the next coalition that they can, you know, latch onto and drain of their life force. That's all they've ever done.
Well, I'm your new biggest fan, Richard Barris. I followed your polls, but wow, in person, you're amazing. Thank you so much. The People_Pundit. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you, sir.
Thanks, Alex. All the best. God bless.
You too. Amazing. I'm impressed. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol. Both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas. It's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine, and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
The Alex Jones Show. Because there is a war on. For your mind.
We've had a lot of guests on, and the people I have on over and over again, I'm impressed with. Richard Barris blew me away, because I'd be thinking something and he'd be saying it, but even more eloquently than I would say it. I cannot hype enough that last hour. Wow. And the frustration that we want to save America, and we're populist and we're conservatives, and our advice has been proven right. And then we're just being beat over the head by censorship and bots and Israeli money. And then Israel's destroying itself. You know, a lot of the people I know that are frothing anti-Israel, you hear them on air, they're like, good, they're screwed. And I'm just like, well, what? And everybody else is screwed? And even if I could hit a button and blow Israel up, I wouldn't do it. They go, oh, you do that to kiss their ass. Oh, that's why I'm attacked by the Israel lobby. No, they don't like me because I'm being legitimate and real, and I can convince people in Israel not to be part of this psychotic behavior. I just treat everybody like humans. I don't blame people's governments. I don't blame the Chinese for the communists. I wouldn't even blame the Germans, though the ones that fought for it I blame for Hitler. I wouldn't blame the poor Russians that got overtaken by the communists, had Lenin over them. I mean, if you study the history of it, literally they just were under this. And most people are followers. I don't blame people in the UK for their evil, horrible government. I mean, you can give them part of the blame, but I'm not like, you know, I'm opposing the UK government trying to pass censorship laws in the U.S. And people don't say, oh, you're anti-British. No, I'm anti-UK government running my life. But Israel is the big gorilla in the room, sitting on top of me, spitting in my face. And I've told these stories a couple times, but I went to public school in kindergarten, first grade. And then my parents always went to church, but they really got into church. I mean, it was like they did Bible studies and youth meetings and, you know, Bible retreats. And, I mean, let me tell you something. I didn't even dislike it. I got into it. But, I mean, I was like 4 or 5 days a week at church and at Bible retreats and, you know, all the rest of it. And my parents kind of didn't get out of it, but they just pulled back. When I was in the fifth grade going to Bible, you know, Bible church school, and they were like, you know, this is taking over our lives. And they would, you know, the arguments at the church about the Bible and all of it just got too crazy and kind of the pharisaical henpecking that went on. So my mom said, we're going to church once a week to my dad. You can choose the church we want because there was debates about that, but we're done doing this. Because, I mean, they had my parents out fundraising and doing all the rest of stuff, and they just got sick of it. And then I am plopped in to school in Dallas in the sixth grade. And I'm this nice little kid, you know, Christian Bible school. Sure, I know how to ride a horse and shoot a gun and all the rest of it, but I didn't think I was Billy Badass or anything. You know, I was just this nice, sweet little kid. And first week in school, there are Hispanic and black kids that are 3 years older than me. I mean, literally had mustaches beating me up. And I'm not against Hispanics and blacks. I don't blame all of them, just like I don't blame Israel or China, the bad government. I mean, but, you know, anybody that's grown up in a city, it's been fair game on white people for a long time. And I just remember, you know, even because the teachers would do nothing. It was political correctness. And I just remember being grabbed. Because, you know, you'd have an hour or 70 minutes for lunch or whatever it was, and you'd go eat your lunch, then you'd go out to the playground, and then I'd be out there trying to, you know, a few kids would have G.I. Joe men or something, and all of a sudden there'd be some guy 3 years older than me, you know, who weighed like 50 pounds more than me, grabbing me and punching me and throwing me on. One time I had like a concussion, couldn't see for a day. This big black kid picked me up and slammed my head in the ground. Was the first time, wasn't the last time. And I remember just sitting there with a few times, these guys on top of me, just punching me in the face. And I'm just sitting there. And I remember this third or fourth time it happened, I just exploded, got mad. He was doing this. They had like a parking lot by the woods, by the playground. So it was in concrete. I just exploded, jumped up on top of the guy, bashed his head in the ground. He's bleeding everywhere. His head turned sideways. I crushed his head in. And I put a guy's eye out later. I've told you that story. And it was a big split. And, like, the police come and all this stuff because I guess they weren't opening my head up. The point was with me, it was blood. Once I triggered, blood. It's always the same. I got that gift. It's like in what is that movie with Clint Eastwood with Gene Hackman, Unforgiven or whatever. And he goes, man, why'd you pick those guys? You shot the first guy first, the best gunfighter first. He goes, I've just always been lucky at killing people. I'm not trying to say I'm the toughest guy around, but you get in a fight with me, I hurt you immediately. Like there's no, I can't help it. You're just in a lot of pain. And I'm doing this metaphor, not talking about how I'm tough or anything. It's about governors. It's about spiritual issues. It's about where it is. And all of a sudden they come, the police are there. This guy's head split open, all the rest of it. And they call me in and they talk to the witnesses. Now he was beating him up, so nothing happens. And so I go home, and then all of a sudden the other thugs in the school and now the kids from 7th and 8th grade in the middle school have heard about it. I'm on the same bus, and now they're like, oh, you beat up Gerald or whatever. His name was Gerald. And I'm on the little bus, and all of a sudden they're in another neighborhood, but I get off the bus at my middle-class lakefront, you know, house, and off pile the 5 or 6 guys. And so I run. Because we're gonna kick your ass, and they tackle me, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And I go home with 2 black eyes, busted lips, and my dad goes, I go, Dad, I want you to go to the school. I want you to go to their parents. He goes, no, you just need to learn to fight harder. And my dad was never acting like the toughest guy, but when it got out of brass tacks, he was a serious guy. And he goes, Couldn't you have picked up a rock? Couldn't you have done something else? He goes, you're going to learn in this world. People aren't going to be there to protect you. He goes, I can go do that if you want. He says, or you can be a man. You can fight harder. So a few months later, they did it, and they chased me down in a ravine by the golf course. I picked up old concrete that had run off or whatever, big old shard of it. That guy came up, and I just went right in his eye. Yeah, your eyeball's gone, bitch. And his eye jibbled out. The jelly fell out. He cried for his mommy. But then I had to fight their cousins and their cousins and their cousins all the way until we took me out of high school for a year. And I went and worked on a ranch just while my parents moved to Austin to get me away from it. I never had any other problems. Once I got here, I wore a preppy shirt. I kept my mouth shut. They thought I was a cop so that I could just get out of that situation. But it wasn't like that in Austin. It was great. And the reason I tell those stories is there's a lot more, is that that's how I feel with the globalists. They are on top of me. They are spitting in my face. They are blacking my eyes. They are busting my nose. And they just think I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take it. They think you are going to continue to take being bombed with fentanyl and the crime and the crap and the garbage. And all I'm saying is that's not who we are. And Lord knows there's been black folks that have been persecuted and everybody else. I'm not, but you hear about, the leftist blacks whining about what happened to them. I bet you there aren't but a handful of black people in this country, wherever weird place they grew up, where they had to get attacked every few weeks from the entire time they were 10 years old up by people because they were white. And then it got worse because, see, I didn't put up with it. And that's what's happened with me and the government and the CIA and the FBI and the Democrats. I've kicked their ass over and over again thanks to your support. I couldn't have done any of this without you backing me, without you supporting me. This is all God. This isn't me, the tough guy. If you didn't hold me up, I couldn't do this. But you notice, it's like being a gunslinger that keeps winning the fights. More people want to have a shootout with you. More people, when you come into town, are looking for trouble, looking to make their name. And that's fine. I didn't get into this to make a name. I'm not getting into this to uphold that I'm the Billy Badass. I'm nobody. But I'll tell you right now, I know you're strong, and I know you're not going to put up with this crap. Yeah, you guys want to play that last scene, last gun battle of, let's play that, of Unforgiven. Won a bunch of Academy Awards. It's powerful. But when I watched that, even when I was like, that came out when I was like 18 years old, and I'm watching that, and he goes, yeah, I didn't pick the order. I've just always been good at killing people. And that's the ingredients of all of this. But the issue is, with all of you out there, God gives everybody gifts. You may have gifts of being able to work hard, or gifts of math, or gifts of literature, or art, or being a prayer warrior. You all have your gifts. You have to find out what your gifts are. But I am so thankful to my dad that when I came home with a busted lip and even a loose tooth and two black eyes, and I said, Dad, I want you to go fight for me. I want you to confront these people. I want you to go. He said, that's not going to work. That's not how this works. And you know what? When they tried to sue us, and when the police came, and when they did all that, and the few times I defended myself when I was older, and I got put in jail one time in solitary confinement for a week before the court case, my dad stood up for me every time. And of course, I was in the right every time. But they didn't matter, because I was committing the cardinal sin, even then, of political correctness, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy kicking other people's asses. That didn't fit with the mode. We were supposed to lie down and die. We were supposed to lie down and take it. We were supposed to roll over. There's an incredible clip out of Spain where the Muslim invaders attack these cops. And I got to say, these guys ought to be in the UFC. It's like those funny Japanese movies where they turn up the speed of the fights. See if you can find that clip from yesterday. I sent it to you again today. And I could just watch that all day. And I wouldn't care if it was a black guy fighting five white guys that attacked him. And I've seen footage of that. I've seen very disturbing footage. And we play it when we find it. You got some big black guy just goes into a biker bar, and he's trying to order food, and like 10 white people attack him. And, of course, he beats a bunch of their asses, but in the end they win. The point is, there's something about gangs ganging up on people, and that's not what freedom is all about. That's not what this should be about. Our gang should be Jesus Christ. Our gang should be America and the free market and due process and private property and the right to self-defense. And I know if we promote that culture, we can get people to put on that uniform. But like Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody in this world. It better be God, because if it ain't God, it's the devil. You might be the world champion heavyweight boxer of the world, or you might be the president, or you might be a janitor. You got to serve somebody. And we have problems because we don't decide what we serve, what we stand for. Service is not a bad thing. Service is what empowers you. You have to decide what you're giving it all to. You have to decide what you're committed to, and then nothing matters. Nobody can talk you out of it. Nobody can get you to stop. And the real power in the universe is about, I don't know how all this is going to end, like I told you. Like I told people 15 years ago, I said, we're taking you on, globalists. We're going to take you down. I said, there's going to be ups and downs, but in the end, you're going to get it. Because if you want to fight, you better believe you got one. It is commitment. It is showing up in the universe is what it's all about. And so my dad didn't just tell me, fight back and do whatever you got to. He backed me up when I put people in comas, when I gouged people's eyeballs out, when I tore people's noses off. And I wasn't looking for the trouble. But the point is, that's the real world. That's how this works. And so it would have been bad advice if he didn't back me, but he did back me. And the question is, we've all got to back each other. Yeah, this isn't it. It's a fight at night. I'll fight it again. I sent it to you again today. I posted it on X yesterday. I said I could watch this all day long. I'll fight it and send it to you. I send you hundreds of clips. I send him hundreds of clips and never even play five of them. It's a real problem I've got here because we have so many great guests on the rest of it. But let's go to a clip from Unforgiven because it's a great scene, and then I'll find that clip and send it to him. Here we go.
Yesterday, you get one drink for that, too. Right, hold it. Now, hold it. Now, that's two. But after that, it comes out of your own pocket. You hear me, Skinny?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're pulling out early in the morning. We're going to chase these fellas clear down to Texas, so don't spend too much of your own money, right? We're going to divide up into four parties. And we'll hit all the farms and the trails to make a big circle. And we're bound to come across somebody who's seen these skunks.
You fat man, speak up.
I own this establishment. Bought it from Greeley for $1,000.
You better clear out of there.
Yes, sir.
Just hold it right there. Hold it!
Cowardly son of a bitch. You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself. He's going to decorate his saloon with my friend.
You'd be William Money out of Missouri. Killer women and children.
That's right. I've killed women and children. Killed just about everything that walks or crawls at one time or another. And I'm here to kill you, Little Bill, for what you did to Ned. The boys better move away.
All right, gentlemen. He's got one barrel left. When he fires that, take out your pistols and shoot him down like the mangy scoundrel he is.
Any man don't want to get killed. Better clear on out the back.
Found the clip. There's a longer version after he kills Little Bill. Then the writer that's there says, oh, I noticed you took on, you know, the best gunfighter first. He goes, no, that was just luck, but I've always been lucky killing people. That's why I wanted to play that. But here's where I'm at. I got all these other news articles, all this other insane stuff. Bottom line is there are powerful forces that want to conquer you and your family and want to take away everything you've got. And you're like, well, I'm not like that. I don't believe that is the way it is. Just because you aren't a psychotic control freak doesn't mean there aren't a bunch of people that are like that. And they're the ones that look for power and get in power. And they are screwing us and just killed 35 million of us with poison shots and growing. I'm talking about Fauci and Bill Gates and all their bosses up there. They're a bunch of cowards that kill us by stealth, that do it all passive aggressively. You first have to admit they're doing it. You have to admit they're your enemy. You have to admit they're coming for you. And you got to admit there ain't nobody coming to save you but yourself. That doesn't mean we don't wake up as coalitions. We don't get involved. We don't educate others. We don't run for office. We don't file lawsuits. We don't not comply. Once they have another lockdown, we run around everywhere protesting much bigger than we did last time. I was there day once during the lockdowns. Even got censored even more. You know, it's easy, and I'm not mad at Joe Rogan or Adam Carolla or any of these guys that, you know, once it was safe to oppose the COVID tyranny, they got on board. I know a lot of these guys. They knew day one it was bullshit. And I'm not mad at them. I'm just saying, I've told them personally, next time they try this, I want you day one on this job. And if you don't do it day one, you're going to have a problem. Because, damn it, I can't be the one, and my listeners can't be the ones, and our guests can't be the ones that every time do it first. You need to be up front. That's what a leader does. They don't sit back and wait till other leaders have done the job to jump on the bandwagon. You got to do it up front. And listen, a lot of you guys think you're doing what's safe. You think you're thinking things through. You think you're being smart. We got a good chance of losing this thing. A leader doesn't jump in and do it first because they want to be the leader or because they want to, you know, sit there and say, I was right. See, we just tell you we were right so you'll listen to us so you'll know that this is what we do. This is what we're committed to. Yeah, there's a lot of evil in the universe. But they try to convince you all day that's all there is. And I've said this 1,000 times. I'll say it again. Ever since I was a little kid, I've heard the devil's biggest trick is convincing the world he doesn't exist. That's not true, folks. That's the second biggest trick. What's the devil really always tell you in the culture and media? There is no God, which means there is no good. There is no hope. There's no God shining through you, working through you. There's no good in the world. You know that's a lie. Millions of you are listening right now, and you know you love justice. You know you love freedom. You might be black. You might be white, Hispanic, Asian, old, young, whatever. You have a sense of justice. You really care about the truth. You don't look down on people that aren't as smart as you and figure out how you can screw them over. You never even think like that. You want to help them. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. You got God's imprint on you. You got the King's mark on you. You're on the winning team. You ought to thank God every moment, whoever your ancestors were, how you were brought up, all of it, that you're literally pointed in the right direction. And it's only up to you to complete the task to join the team of Jesus Christ. The devil's biggest trip that he uses to trip people up, that he uses to snare people with his darts, is that good doesn't exist, and to accuse all the real people. And to accuse you and say, you're not good enough. You know, what are you going to do? You know, you knew you did this wrong. You did that wrong. Why are you trying to lead people? Why are you trying to get involved? The devil's the accuser. That's what he does. And I've learned to see the devil's tactics. So when you see me attack somebody and I've got this reason for it, and without me going to a long elaboration about it, I see the signature of that attack. I know it's a talking point right out of the devil. I know it's a planned program or operation. A spell, a wizardry, a mind control program, a virus, a mind virus meant to keep you off the task and the destiny that God made you for. But God's a God of free will. And so if you don't want to follow God's program, then you don't have to. But I would suggest you get with the program, folks, because it will empower you, it will enrich your mind, it will take you to heights you never even knew existed. It will give you a lot of sorrow, and you'll feel God's a little bit of God's pain he has for us. And I say a little bit, it's going to be a lot, but believe me, it's nothing compared to what God feels. When Christ sat on that cross and hung from that cross and took on all of our sins and all of our pain, everything we did then and in the present and the future, you imagine Christ had to take it on. Every crime, every rape, every murder, every torture, every satanic ritual, everything we did, he had to experience it. He had to take it on. He had to take it on for us. You think about that. And he transmuted that for us to give us a way out of it. So I praise Jesus.
I'll tell you something right now that is one of the most, if not the most important things I've ever talked about on air. And I want you to really listen to me. And I want you to get a pen and paper out of your iPhone, out of your Droid, and type this into your notes. And I want you at lunch today or tonight or right now to just go to any search engine you want and type in two different names, two different words, okay? Two different drugs that have won Nobel Prizes, you name it, that people don't want you to know about. And one of those is ivermectin that everybody knows about. The other one that most people still don't know about is mabenzidol. If you do the research, then it's important to understand that you need to get it from a pharmacy. You need to get it from a doctor. And we have a sponsor, and that's, of course, Bigley. And they went and they used the same service as, you know, the big web, RXs, and great people we've used that have been sponsors in the past, but this is Bigley doing it. And the key is, it's real, it's pharmaceutical, and it is a very low price. People are selling knockoffs of it online without a prescription, and a lot of it's fake, or a lot of it's watered down and adulterated. Because I did a regimen a couple years ago of mabenzidol. We'll put that on screen. That's how you spell it right there. MEBENDAZOLE, and it didn't have any effect. I bought it off of Amazon. And then I did more research, and they said most of that stuff's fake. So I went, and I got it from a doctor, and it was incredible. And my own medical doctor owns clinics all over the state of Texas had already been pushing it on me for years, and I just never done it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get the two in a combo, the ivermectin and the mabenzidol, together, and they work synergistically together. It is certified and known, both of them, as incredible anti-parasitic. Just search the term ivermectin, mabenzidol, and just put in study and do your own research and see what the system has been suppressing about this. And this is something, in my view, talk to your physician. And when you go to the website, it's, you know, online pharmacy, and they've got nurses, doctors, all of it. And then you get the prescription. It's very, very easy to do. And I would recommend to talk to your doctors. My own personal opinion. What I do for myself is twice a year, I take a regimen of ivermectin and mabenzidol. And it is incredible. People ask why I look so young while I'm healthy. Well, it's a cocktail of things. It's the ivermectin. It's the mabenzidol that I take about twice a year as a regimen. Some people, my medical doctor says, take a little bit of ivermectin every week. But I tend to forget to do that. It's literally just to take like two pills a week as a supplemental. That's what my medical doctor tells me. You get your own medical doctor to tell you what you want. But the big thing they say is a couple of times a year, a big dose, a big regimen. You talk to your physicians. You talk to the folks in the online pharmacy. Let me put it on screen for you. 1776RX, just 1776RX.health. This is one of the most important things you'll ever do, ladies and gentlemen. And despite the system trying to suppress this information, it's getting out everywhere. So do your own research. This is revolutionary. This is so important. 1776, just the numbers. 1776RX.health. Those are the coordinates, and it's a win-win to fund our operation and what we're doing. Take action now. The most important decision you'll ever make, 1776RX.health, and get your ivermectin mabenzidol right now, ladies and gentlemen. But whatever you do, go to the AlexJonesStore.com. These are incredible products. All these things work. They're not sexy names. IRCMOS, Shilajit, bovine colostrum. Oh, research bovine colostrum and then find out we have the best. Oh, research IRCMOS. We have the best. Research Shilajit. We have the best. We just bring you things the bad guys don't want you to know about at TheologyShipStore.com and, of course, at 1776RX.health. Take action now. Thank you so much for your support.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Barrel left. When he fires that, take out your pistols and shoot him down like a mangy scoundrel he is. Misfire. Kill us, bitch.
You killed five men. Single-handed.
Yeah.
That's a Spencer rifle, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Who'd you kill first?
Huh?
When confronted by superior numbers, an experienced gunfighter will always fire on the best shot first.
Is that so?
Yeah, Little Bill told me that. And you probably killed him first, didn't you?
I was lucky in the order. But I've always been lucky when it comes to killing folks.
And so, who was next? It was Clyde, right? He must have killed Clyde. Well, it could have been Deputy Andy, wasn't he? Or...
All I can tell you is who's going to be last.
Deserve this. To die like this. I was building a house.
Deserves got nothing to do with it.
I'll see you in hell with your money.
Better believe you got one, and they got one, don't they? Anybody gets in the way of us restoring the Republic. Anybody gets in the way of us bringing this country back. We're going to fight them in the information war. We're going to fight them politically at the legal levels. We're going to fight them physically if they push it over the line. But that means we failed and we have to go to that level. But we'll win that level, don't you worry. Thank you for joining us today. So let me give you an update on the Tim Pool situation. When I saw him come out, 36 hours after it was clear that it was just an X bug, as I believed it was, killing live show numbers for everybody, including entertainment shows, not just mine, and saying, no, you have no viewers because you're anti-Trump, anti-war. And the way he's ridden the fence on this, it was my belief that he was paid to do that. I don't know that, but I know he met secretly with Netanyahu. Then I saw the bots instantly hit us and say, oh, how do you know there was a secret meeting? Because Tim Pool told you. No, he got caught. It came out in the Israeli news. They had the secret meeting that Netanyahu called him to have on how to counter the American right and how he'd be the leader of the resistance to us. And Tim Pool's tried to spin that and then put out post on X saying, oh, I got the call, not saying who, implying, you know, when he had the secret meeting, he got the call. He took the meeting. He did it. Did he take the money? We don't know. So I said, Tim, why don't you just debate me, which I challenge everybody to do. And most people are scared to do it. I don't know why. I mean, I'm such an idiot. It should be easy to do, right? And so he came out last night and, you know, made jokes about it. We'll play the clip here in a moment, saying, well, he wants $300,000. Then he made the joke, like it lessens me because the Democrats and the CIA and the FBI came after me to bankrupt me and to do all this. And they believed I would quit if under non-dischargeable bankruptcy where I could have my house and my car and that's it. I don't even care about that. It means absolutely nothing. In fact, it just pisses me off more. And he's just like, oh, well, sorry, Alex doesn't have $300,000 to pay him to debate him. So just another chicken shit statement by Tim Pool. And people say, oh, he's your friend. Tim Pool's probably never been my friend. He's always come off sociopathic. You know, it's not like he's not a good host. He's smart in ways. I'm not trying to lessen that. But the point is he's an opportunist. He never got banned anywhere. We've been banned everywhere. And so him to pile on and say, your listeners are down 90% because you're not pro-Trump was an endorsement of the unpopular stuff Trump's done, claiming what they're doing is popular when it's unpopular and destroying our populist movement. And it was a glitch. We're back to the regular live stream stuff on X. Record numbers on the videos, the articles, all of it. That's why I didn't think it was a suppression. I thought it was a glitch. And X admitted it was a glitch and fixed it within 48 hours. Kudos, Elon Musk. So that's why I got pissed, because it looked like coordination to me. It looked like piling on. And I've never done anything to this guy. You know, when it came out that a Russian company was funding a file-sharing video network ad center, and that's a long story to even describe how those work, but you get in a pool group. I've been offered a lot, never did it, because I know if there's some group I don't know, I'm going to get accused of something. That's why we got to be very careful. That's why we went to direct sales 15 years ago and basically got rid of most sponsors, because who knows who's funding that sponsor. Later they'll claim you took money. And in sponsors, usually they'll be doing great. They do come to you and say, now we want you to say this. And I'm like, screw you. So that's why we went to the model of direct sales, thealexjonesstore.com. Before that, you know, the InfoWars store. And so I've been through this over and over again. And I didn't ever even talk about it other than saying, no, I don't think Benny Johnson and Tim Pool and a bunch of others, because I really believe that, were bad because a Russian company didn't disclose they owned some deal where they would pay you for your videos and pay you to run ads for regular products. You didn't know you were getting Russian money. I mean, for all I know, who knows? It's never been come out. I think if it was there, it'd be out. But I've never knowingly taken money from a foreign government. I never took money from the Air Force or the Marine Corps, but that was a big scandal right before they banned me on YouTube, that the Air Force and Marines were making buys on YouTube for my show for recruitment. It was the number one show at the time, and mainly young age males. So, I mean, that was a smart place. And the Air Force responded and said, no, it's a top demographic. He has the number one show with young males, and we're going to advertise there. But yeah, I took money from Uncle Sam, and I clicked the agreement. So you just take the money. I mean, one buy alone was like $20,000. So yeah, Tim, I got money from a government. It was the U.S. government, but it wasn't for what I said or what I did. And that was a scandal back at the time. So I never even got approached by foreign governments with money. I got approached by Roger Ailes 15 years ago, and then like 18 years ago, then like 10 years ago, to do a Fox show. They want me to do a show with Man Cow. They want me to do my own show, and I'd be the new Limbaugh, but they wanted to control what I said, so I didn't do it. And then right before they sued me through law firms, they had a meeting in D.C., and the richest guy in the world at the time wanted to give me $50 million a year. People say, well, say the name. No, it was an off-record meeting. It wasn't an illegal meeting. So if something's illegal, I'll expose it. But if I have a, you know, meeting that's off-record, I'm not going to disclose what the meeting was. But they were like, you're about to get sued and destroyed, or you can come work for us. And I said, no. So yeah, there it is. The Air Force is running a recruitment ad for its special forces on Alex Jones' YouTube channel. See? Profoundly thing. So that was the type of stuff that was going on back then. So just classic, because the foreign governments know, they're smart enough to know, you come to me and try to give me money, I'll punch you in the face and call the FBI on your ass. And actually, they did send the FBI with the Internet Research Group in 2017 in D.C. when I didn't take the money from the richest guy in the world at the time, not Musk, somebody else. And I said, I got to go to the bathroom during the meeting. And so I go and, you know, click record on my phone, and I call my lawyers and I say, let's meet with the FBI. Let's give them this. And I went to the FBI. I said, I know another office is behind this, but just, you guys know, I'm not taking money from foreign governments. and I'm reporting this with names, and it turned out it was the CIA that was doing it, but they offered me $3 million check, the first of $30 million, and they had the check. They just said, here, just take the check. It was the Trump Hotel in D.C. Just take the check right now. Just we know you know, don't are out of money, because I was out of money at the time. And I said no right there. And I immediately said, I got to take a piss, went, recorded part of it, went to the FBI, got it all on record, did that. So my point is that this is not my first rodeo, okay? So when it came out that Tim Pool, I believed unknowingly, because I know how these things work, through a video sharing file advertising ad agency, I didn't go, oh, God, Tim Pool's a Russian agent. Oh, you know, blah, 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 it takes rubles. But when he met Sigrid with Netanyahu, I said this a few days ago. I said, I felt guilty, but I'm so loyal to people I think are my friends that I think I mentioned and said, yeah, it doesn't look good, but he met with Netanyahu. It came out. It was a secret meeting. Once it came out, then he admitted the meeting. People go, well, how do you know about the meeting if it's secret? Because he admitted it after it got exposed. But they just keep gaslighting. No, how do you know? How do you know? It's not, you know, it's known Israeli bots doing that. So I don't know about him getting Russian money, whether it's rubles or shekels, but that's what we're dealing with here. And so I'm not going to sit here and have him then make his jokes about, well, I want $300,000 to debate Alex Jones, but he doesn't have money. Ha, ha, ha. As if the fact that I don't have money means I'm a bad person when I don't have money because I'm a true person who didn't sell out. So it's just, it's disgusting. And so I wanted to end this Tim Pool thing. I felt betrayed by him. I talked about it. But now because he did this, Tim, we got a lot of sources and a lot of people that like what we're doing who are actually good. And so now I put the calls in to find out exactly what's going on with you, pal. So you keep being arrogant. You wear your little beanie and you do your thing. You feel all powerful and laugh at me on it. That's fine. It's not personal. Okay. I first got mad because it's personal. Cause why are you trying to dance on my imaginary political grave? But the fact that you said I'm getting foreign calls and told what to do, that means money. I want you to put up or shut up. And then I said, let's have a debate about who's getting foreign money. And you puss out and say, buddy, you ain't got the money to interview me. That's a class system. I'm better than you, bitch. I got more money than you, bitch. You can't even talk to me, bitch. That's like George Washington couldn't even though he was a huge prospector and businessman and owned all this property and was great at everything he did, he couldn't even go get a business deal because he wasn't a British lord. It's the same type of attitude. So I was going to drop the Tim Pool thing until I saw this clip. And now the new statements he's put out, here's an overhead shot. 300,000, Alex, I hear that's the going rate. So because they charged the Andrew Wilson guy to go on with Candace, he says, hey, I'm the superior. It's all about the money to debate me. Dude, you're the guy that came out and said, my audience is gone because I'm anti-war, when that's super popular. But I didn't do that because it's super popular. It's the right thing. You're the guy that did that. You're the guy that besmirched my credibility. And then he did all these posts saying, I don't know why Alex is attacking me. I'm his biggest buddy. I'm his biggest pal. You won't even own up to your attack because it's a passive-aggressive beta male pussy move. So Tim Pool wants $300,000 to debate me. What does that say? And then he makes the joke, but I don't have the money. Of course I could get somebody to get the money, but that debate's not worth that. It's pathetic and it's disgusting. So here's Tim Pool last night saying, yeah, I want $300,000. Here it is.
Okay, Alex, I'll debate you. All right. I'm going to take the position that Israel is undue influence in U.S. electoral politics. AIPAC should register under FARA. They pressured us, forcing our hand into the Iranian war, for which it's undermined our interests, and they're currently undermining our interests in the Middle East. I'll take that position. And then I guess you'll take the pro side, like why you support Israel, I guess. I mean, I can't imagine we'd both take the same position, right? Yeah, it's a debate. So that's my position, and then you can take the other one, I guess.
Right. Now, Alex is pro-Israel now. He has to be.
Well, I mean, if he wants to debate, he'd have to take the pro-Israel position. So I say yes. Absolutely.
$300,000
Well, you know, he doesn't have 300. Maybe he can do a GoFundMe for it or something.
275?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I should. I got to capitalize on this name recognition.
I'll chip
now.
In 2 cents of X money. I just got paid.
Okay. So there's a sick victory. Like, he's bankrupt. We have more money than him. We're better than him. How sick is that? It is a badge of honor that I gave up what I had for this freedom, and I love it. And it's a honor and a pleasure to do it. A distinct pleasure. But no, it wouldn't be about the fact that now that Israel's propaganda war failed, which they admit, that now you've suddenly flipped from being pro-war and pro-Netanyahu, meeting with him secretly, to now going, oh, I agree with all of you. It shows what a fence rider you are. You're a sunshine patriot, pal, not a winter soldier. I'm a winter soldier. Tim Pool is a sunshine patriot. Not a leader. And I don't have some hard-on for Tim Pool. It's just that I'm not going to sit there and watch him repeat an Israeli propaganda bot attack on me, which is 100% clear, and then not call you out. So what a cowardly move. Jones doesn't have enough money. He's not in my class to even debate me. I'm a god up here above him, even though since it came out that he met with Netanyahu in secret, his audience, which was not even that big before, has gone like this. That we're dealing with here. Let me make it simpler for you, Tim. You pick the spot. You get a ring in a state that allows it. I'm an older man than you. Let's have a boxing match, bare knuckles. Let's do it by trial by combat. You're a big man. You can wear your beanie. Let's get in the ring. Alex Jones is a big talker. All this tough guy talk. Get in the ring with me, Tim. You're this big man. Get in the ring, bare knuckles with me, or it'd be better for you, let me tell you. How about we wear full-size gloves? That'd be smart for you to do that. Because I'm going to knock your ass out and fold you up like a beach chair in about 30 seconds. I want Tim Pool to get in a ring with me, and where all his arrogance will be put on display. I'm a paper tiger, pal. Look at me. Come on. Come on. Come on. This old 50-year-old man, you beat my ass so easy, son. Get in the ring with me, Poole. I challenge you, your place, your time, anywhere, anytime. Let's get in a ring right now. Let's get in a ring right now. We can do it like Escape from New York. I'll even let you have a baseball bat. How about that, Tim? Tim, we can do it in Thailand where Mortal Kombat's legal. You can get in a ring with me in Thailand. Oh, it'd be worse for you that way. Let's give you a sword. Let's give you an axe. I'll get in the ring with you in Thailand. You could have a sword and an axe. Oh, I guarantee you lose that way. Because I don't even turn on my juice till I'm facing a real threat. How about we get in the ring in Thailand? You can have a 9mm handgun, huh? Because you're going to need it. You and your beanie. I want in the ring with you, Pool. Because if you want to bang heads with me, I can show you what it's like till you're bleeding. I want in the ring with you right now. Because you symbolize everything this country is under attack by and all the smarmy little double-dealing rats. I want Tim Pool to be the champion of Netanyahu. You can wear your trunks, the Star of David right there. You can have rabbis there doing chants, burning incense, everything else. I want you in the ring with me, and you are going to be victorious because you've got that magical beanie, the mothership yarmulke that gives the orders all out to all the other yarmulkes. But I won't wear Iranian pants for you. But other than that, I'm ready. So are you ready, Tim? Tim Pool has accepted my debate about $300,000. I think pay-per-view, Tim, we can raise $50 million if we have that fight. Will Tim Pool accept it? Because I swear to God, I will get in that ring with him. And we'll all see what a fake Alex Jones is. I mean, you imagine, Tim is going to beat my ass. It is going to be beautiful. It is going to be amazing. He'll be like Superman catch, take that beanie off, just throw it at me, I'm done. Imagine, he is going to just dominate me with ninja force power. Trillions of horsepower of liberal energy. And Jones will be absolutely defeated. Notice, he put that out in April. It came out months after the meeting. He's like, oh, I did meet with Netanyahu. Oh, I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. All right, I got to stop. This is out of control. We all know Tim Pool's not going to take the offer. You know he won't do it because he knows deep down inside this old man will send him to the promised land politically, not violently. When a crashing blow from a big right hand sent a Louisiana man to the promised land, Big John. From me to Jimmy Dean, buddy, I want to get in that ring with you, and I want to show you how the cow ate the cabbage. Tim, this is your moment of truth. You can, your testicles that never dropped can actually drop now. You can have testicles. You can be a real boy. You can get in the ring with Alex Jones and prove your power. In fact, you don't need a battle axe. You can have a skateboard try to beat me over the head with it. Actually, be like a massage. Because that's what you're going to find out, son. And so I'm waiting, Tim. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last. I'm waiting for you. I need it. Look at that. Israel watching Tim Pool versus Alex Jones. Mark Mitchell, another great pollster, had a great point. But whatever you do, remember, yeah, Tim Pool's laughing. He's like, ah, ha, ha, you don't have any money. Oh, I have all the shekels. Oh, I'm Judas Iscariot. I got 30 pieces of silver. You don't have it. I will get new hosts on top of Harrison. I mean, new, get rid of Harrison. I mean, more hosts. I will get more crew. I will do it all. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. We have the end of summer super sale right now. 50% off on ultramethylene blue. So much more. We have the great earth magnet, gun magnet holsters. We've got it all, but we need funds to fight a war. And I cannot do it without you. Tim Pool thinks we're weak. Tim Pool thinks we don't have the funds. He celebrates that, like when the FBI and CIA guy got caught undercover tape saying we cut off his legs, we took his money his way. That's what they hope, because they don't want to meet me on the field of intellectual battle. Support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. The Cordis of Resistance. Go there now. Go to 1776rx.health. Get the Minbenzidol and the Ivermectin. So incredible. Medical, pharmaceutical grade. At 1776rx.health. It's all there. Take action. These are incredible products. And Tim Pool's laughing. He hopes we don't have the money. He hopes we don't have the money to even show up, like with King Arthur when he's a little squire and he can't show up to the joust and, you know, whatever, but he pulls the sword from the stone. They're hoping we don't show up on the field. They're praying every moment because we've got the light in the dark of the night. We have the answers to their tyranny. We have the 1776 answer to their 1984. We have it, but you have to see it. You have to realize it. You have to stand behind it. So I've challenged Tim Pool to physical bare knuckles combat right now, Pool. I'm ready. The paper tiger is ready. I will climb in that ring and you will just, I will fall down, you think, and pee on myself. Just please do the bare knuckles. That'll make it a lot quicker for you and your great victory against me. I'm all talk, Pool. I'm not real. Call my bluff. Get in the ring with me. Do it now. And meet your destiny. Meet your destiny when this smashed arthritic fist nonviolently politically sends you to Valhalla. Get in the ring with me now.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do, they want to silence you,
is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.